rolling. They hating, patrolling, and trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty.
Gentlemen, we are live from the Weekend Warrior trailer at Ichikani Motocross Park in Lazella, Georgia, and this is Pure Dirt, ATV's first and only interactive live talk show. On this night of becoming a champion, we talk to five-time women's national champion Angela Butler. Also joining us, he's the 2005 GNC national champion, 2004 Stadium Pro Quad champion, and two-time winner of the Maxxis 12 Hours of ATV America, the Ironman John Natale will be joining us. Also, from Target Specific Training, trainer of the future stars of ATV racing, Dr. Rice will be with us. And now, the hosts of Pure Dirt, John Pelham and George Cortez.
We packing something that we have for we have it locked up in the maximum security cell. I'm gripping old music loud and I'm tipping slow. Twin steady twisting like hit this dough.
Jamming out on the intro. I like it. Anyway, we're here for our second episode of Pure Dirt. Hope you're logging in and enjoyed the first one. I think it was pretty good. We had a lot of talk on it. I got some phone calls and a bunch of emails. People enjoyed it, I think. So something different. I hope you guys are going to like it. We've got a great show lined up for tonight. It's the theme of tonight's show is becoming a champion. That's what we're going to go for an hour and a half, and that's our theme. We're going to try to stick to it, but we are at WPSA's ATV Tour round. Well, it's round four, stop number two at Ichikani Motocross Park in Lizella, Georgia. And so we'll try to stick to the theme, becoming a champion, but, you know, we'll probably wander off. There's a lot to talk about. For becoming a champion, I don't know if we could have done any better. We've got Ironman John Natale tonight for you guys. We've got Donnie the Bulldog Banks. We've got five-time women's champion Angela. Well, we got to call her Angela Butler now. I always, more comes to mind. So we got a trailer, a Weekend Warrior trailer, packed full of champions.
Champions and yeah. two never will be's like us.
Right. So in case you don't know the host, I am John Pelham, and my host, my buddy here is George Cortez, our host.
I'm George Curtis.
George Curtis tonight, and I'm Josh Pelham. That's Mark. Pelham. Mark
and all
calls
our
me.
Opinions are. Yeah. Our opinions, they don't reflect on anybody that we are associated with.
No.
These are completely independent thoughts and opinions. George Curtis from Alabama.
And Josh Pelham from ATVScore.com.
All right, perfect.
Donnie, why don't you be our first guest? Are you ready for a guest? Well, you know what? Come sit down and hang out with us. Before I wanted to kind of go into our guest stuff, I had an interesting story between George and I. George was telling me earlier. Your wife does triathlons.
Yeah.
And you're like, I guess, like, tell us the story.
I guess, well, we've been traveling so much this year, and you know, she's been doing her triathlon thing, I've been doing the racing thing, and I guess she's been, we were talking about this weekend, and we ended up having races. I mean, her
you're saying, where are you going
yeah,
this weekend,
I was like,
honey?
Where are you going this weekend, and where are we going to send the dogs, and she was like, I'm going to be in Macon, and I was like, I'm going to be in Macon, and I mean, it's been all year long. Neither one of us realized it. Neither one of us looked at each other's calendars. So she's doing a half Ironman here. I mean, literally right in front of the track tomorrow morning.
It's too weird that of all
it's a huge
coincidence. She's actually jogging or bicycling pretty much past the track that we're at today.
Yeah,
cool.
It's pretty interesting. I mean,
so we could almost go out there and give her water. Or something.
Yeah. I'm gonna go out there and be the water boy and spray her down, take out the competition.
Yeah, they're going right past. They're jogging right.
They're by the Sugar Bear, like literally, what is that? Half a mile or a mile
half
away?
Half a mile.
That's the only store in Lizella.
Half a mile.
Yeah, the only store in Lizella, Georgia.
We could all show up with waters and bananas and help.
Yeah. She'll be the girl in the Maxxis shirt, so you'll be able to find.
If you're in Lizella, cheer on Angela Cortez.
Curtis. Angela Curtis.
Angela Curtis
from Alabama.
My bad.
No,
while we're talking, we got one more guest I need to plug. That you guys get a ride out of this guy. He's Dr. Rice. Of Target Specific Training, and we're gonna go into our first guest first, but I'm just warning you guys, you gotta stay tuned for this guy. He's got some really helpful tips for becoming a champion, and he's been testing with some of the pro riders. He's got them going through some sort of boot camp. Do you know that, George?
Yeah, we've got one of our riders, Jake Bratton's, been over here
this
getting beat
not,
to death.
He's
by
not
this
playing
guy.
Around.
No, he's not.
He's got a little. Report like a progress report on who's been tough and who's
Picture,
not.
What was it? Full Metal Jacket or whatever.
Yeah.
The boot camp. Yeah. That's
I'm
him.
Pretty impressed with what he's got going. So you guys got to check out his program and definitely is part of becoming a champion.
Dude, our kid's been doing push-ups in the pits all weekend, straight push-ups.
And he's got his little monitor on, I guess.
Oh yeah, heart rate monitors and the whole
and
thing.
And that gets,
yeah,
I guess, we're gonna talk about that, like, because that gets all sent to the internet. It's kind of cool. But
yeah.
We'll get on it. First is. How many championships do you have, Donnie? Donnie Banks, Donnie the Bulldog Banks from 88. You were the shit. Nobody could touch you in 88. How many championships did you win back then? Yeah.
That was a long time ago, in 88. I was 30 years old and probably the best shape of my life. I won Mickey Thompson, Score Off-Road World Champion, California Golden Champion.
The year 88, you won.
In 88, I won everything that I entered, except for the Nationals. I think I lost it by a point, and it was a long story. But I was good at breaking stuff.
I remember that point. That was at the hill they made on Greta Lynn's.
No, it won that year. I came from like 20th to 2nd, and a guy named Lucas who'd never won. I had whole shot. No, Hoosier Nobbies, which were absolutely awesome and hard packed. They worked better than anything, but they wouldn't get off the gate. And I came from 20th to 2nd. We ran six laps instead of 20 minutes.
Who was out front, Gary?
No, Lucas, John Lucas.
John actually won
the race.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'd have beat him, I think I'd have beat Gary by a point or two.
Wow.
I lost by a point or two, and anyway, it was a mass confusion.
What happened at Lucas guy since then? Has anybody ever heard of that guy?
I think he died. No.
Killed him?
No.
John Lucas, I remember.
No, I saw him. Actually, I saw him at... I saw him at...
Legends 2000.
Yeah, but I think I saw him at either Bud's Creek or Virginia.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of ex-legends, you know, Team Green, Kawasaki, is putting together a salute to past champions.
No way.
And I'm hoping they're going to have ATVs involved. I emailed them, yeah, can you mention Timmy Helter and, Mendenham
and Jimmy White.
Yeah, and they didn't respond back, but I think I would hope that they would respect it.
Well, Kawasaki's got a lot of stuff going on this week,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah, they've got the new KFX 450. Wow.
And what do you think is going to happen with that? It's a, twin spar aluminum framed? I mean, it should be pretty bad.
Yeah, I think they're serious. I think it's going
to
be good.
It's going to be nice to just see, you know, four or five colors out there as opposed to just, you know, three right now.
Well, so, talking about the new wave of four strokes, you used to do your thing on a 250R two-stroke.
Yep.
Well, it did its thing. You were behind the quad.
Right.
It just rode. You were like off the rear grab bar, I remember watching.
But
you point Donnie out.
Oh, yeah, because
no matter what,
he's 19 feet tall,
yeah,
so it's easy.
He rode on the rear grab bar, so I always knew who he was.
You know, one thing people don't realize is Donnie's helped develop a lot of those quads, man. I mean, there's always some top secret thing going. And, I mean, you and I have talked about it before. Every time we'd hear some rumor about some quad, I'd come over here and try to get some pictures of some secret stuff going on.
Well,
I think Henson exists because of me. Wayne Henson's clutch, because I used to just destroy those things.
Let's get you in front of the mic here.
What was I going to say?
You know, this is great. We're all cozy, and I've got bronchitis, so both these guys are going to be worthless next week.
We got to, what was I going to say? So you, back in the day, you rode these two strokes all the time, and have you rode a YFC lately?
No. You know what? Actually, I was probably the first guy to ride a four-stroke. I had an XR600 Gatorback, I raced a three-wheeler, a motorcycle, and a four-wheeler.
Wow.
One weekend. Won all of them, 30-plus, and three-wheeler, and the four-wheeler.
Awesome.
Class.
Jeez.
But I had an XR600 that I rode, and people were just like, you know, it was the only one out there.
What, an XR600 in a...
Yeah.
In a
plus 30
chassis?
Class, yeah. But no,
oh,
motorcycle.
On a dirt bike. All right.
Yeah.
And then... I think Honda used you as an expert witness when all that thing went down. Well, explain that. How are you a witness for
they,
what?
When somebody gets injured, and naturally it's not going to be their fault, they're going to blame it on Honda, and I go in and defend Honda and basically say that the operator was an idiot. You know, and I mean,
just
I've been an
spade
idiot
a spade
before.
Basically, yeah.
I've been an idiot before.
Well, too many people
injured.
Are so opportunistic, man. It's ridiculous, dude.
Huh.
Yeah, but I mean... You know, back then, $1,500 was what was added to each ATV to cover the liability of lawsuits.
Wow.
That's
so
crazy.
Take $1,500 off, you know, and things have changed.
That's our
quick.
Idiot fee that we pay
yeah,
every time
yeah.
we buy something.
Are you
right.
still used in court?
Yeah, they usually mainly on death cases.
Huh.
You know, if they have a death, I come in. But
well, luckily, with all the components nowadays, dude, it's getting few and farther in between, you
right.
know?
Right.
I mean, it's a bad week to be saying it, but...
Yeah.
Well, we're here at your track, and we ought to talk about that a little bit. How's it going with the WPSA tour here?
Man, I think everything's going really smooth. I haven't got to see the round from Daniel Boone. Saw some of the footage on ATV scene of the quad crash that I was in.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, it's right.
But, man, I think it's going really good. And people are really excited about it, and I just want to see what it looks like on TV.
Me too. I didn't get to see it.
I drove by Wimmer's rig, and they all had, I mean, there was a crowd of 50 people out there watching it on TV today, so.
Yeah. They all looked like it was cool.
Yeah, everybody seemed pretty stoked. I mean, a lot of smiling faces. You know, it's amazing this weekend is the amount of utility quads out there. You know, and we predicted it at the last one. We were like,
oh yeah. Well, they were missing one. Number, what were you?
38.
38. They're missing 38.
Got total.
Is it really?
Unreal.
It's pretty much trashed.
Well, we looked at looking at the footage. You could have been totaled. That was that was bad.
Donnie's been totaled since 1989.
You guys are listening. Go to. Hover over racing and go to other, then AP. Now, that's in the front page. Go check out the video while we check this.
That's probably been the most downloaded video because, dude, everybody's been emailing me. Like, MC Donnie wanted
that thing
up.
Came right over. It was close to, man, I didn't want to go
hit
there.
Hit me on the head.
Yeah. Because I did the same thing on his. I hit a.
Yeah, hit me on the head, walk away.
We both have been wrecked by Suzuki King Quads. I did the same thing at your.
I don't think you should have brought that up because I don't do expert witness stuff for Suzuki.
Okay. Well, I broke my nose on a Suzuki King Quad at your other track, Paradise. Yeah.
That's because they're made for expert riders only,
not
these two hacks.
I was running with the leader.
Well, now these guys are checking their phones, and John's having a little conference right now. I guess on a becoming a champion theme, dude, you won the Arena Cross Championship, which doesn't even exist anymore, three times, right?
Yep, three times.
And what that was like late 80s? Or?
I think it was like 86, 87, and 88.
And in the Golden States, was it? You were living on the West Coast back then, right?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in California back then.
Okay. And you can tell me the best Donnie Banks story ever is the podium. Well, I guess we shouldn't even bring that up. But
when I bent Miss Valvoline over.
Yeah. Donnie had some choice words for Miss Valvoline. That was back in what, 88, 89?
I think it was 88.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My wife got some good.
What's that?
Okay. Uh-oh. Well, John's got to get back to the podium in a minute. So I'm gonna. If you can hang, or you got to go too, Donnie?
No, I'm hanging out.
Okay, if you can hang out, let's wheel John Perry in here. And you, listeners, if you got a question for John, because I think he's gonna come to the podium, maybe he'll stop back afterwards, and we can answer some of the. Make it interactive. You guys got something you want to talk about with John? Got a special question? Poke it up on the forums, and we'll read it off while he's going on the podium, which is a third place today.
Ask anything, that's great. I love that. Program with me, and you know, it's just it'd be nice to stay here for a little while, but I gotta go down to the podium this weekend and get down there. Once we're done there, I can come back. As long as they don't keep us too long down there, we can hang out and answer some questions.
Right, that's a success problem. You gotta go do the podium thing. That's a good thing. If you do those every time, you're a champion.
Yeah,
you know, I mean. You, not what you wanted. You won 1-1 at the first one, but shit happens, right?
Hey, it's racing, you know. You don't win them all. You
right.
go out and you do your best in every one, and it comes down to the championship points. And, you know, right now I think I'm still leading them, and there's always tomorrow.
Right.
We had some setup problems with the bike that was pretty much my fault this weekend. So, you know, we'll get that taken care of and go out in the next one and see if I can take care of business. Heat's kind of killing me here. I'm from Pennsylvania. We haven't had any heat lately, so... just busting me up, but you know, we'll get it straight. I hate making excuses, so just go out and do the best. I'm working with TST, and you know, he's going to get me in shape. We're going to go out and win some races.
He's our next guest. He doesn't have to go to the podium, so we can talk to him and not have to hurry. I hate having to hurry with people, especially John. I want to take my time with him because, man, I don't know if you know how personable John is. I don't think there's ever been anyone in our sport that's more liked and more personable and friendly to every project that's ever been out there, and I think it's cool.
You know,
I used to hear,
"Oh, Iron Man." I always was like, "Oh, this is an intimidating dude."
Yeah,
he looks
I know.
Like a
yeah,
serial killer,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
he's got the big
right.
smile, and I was like, "Oh, this guy is gonna just rip my head off one day." And,
right,
and
it's the opposite.
Been, it's been completely hospitable.
He goes out of his way like this thing. I was thinking, well, he's probably gonna get paid to do this thing. He's, you know,
no man,
he's like,
not getting paid. Oh.
John's
a people's champ, dude. You know?
You know what it is I love what I'm doing. I love being out there, and I love talking to the people. And, you know, I actually get yelled at by my sponsors sometimes for being out in the sun or being out in the heat. Right. You should go rest. And it's like, you know, I'm helping out these kids and trying to get them going and keep them going. And I just want them all to have the same lifestyle that I have. You know, I'm living every racer's dream right now. I'm racing for a living. I'm always on the road. And, you know, I got a beautiful fiance that races. And, we're just out having a time of our lives right now, so I'm trying to help these kids out and trying to bring some of these kids up through and teach them to, you know, be safe. And I want to get rid of the stereotype of people that are in, I don't want to consider myself a star, but people that get the star status are always kind of like laid back and try to hide from the press and try to hide from the public. I don't want that. I want to be available and let everybody know what's going on. Let everybody know how much I love this sport and how much I love being around all these people and love talking to the people. So, you know, if you're ever at one of these races and you want to come up and stop by, you know, you got a bike problem, stop by. I might not be able to fix everything, but I might be able to help you with something too.
Well, you're a true ambassador of the sport. We love it. But do we get a phone call? Well, hold on 1 second. Donnie, will you know if it's time for John to go to the podium right now? So will they call you? Okay. Okay.
All right. But the one thing a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, dude, John's not new to this. You know, his name's been on the top of the results the past 3 or 4 years.
Oh, okay.
The past 3 or 4 years, it's been consistently, you know, you've been up there. And yeah. But, I mean, dude, we've seen you struggle for years, man. I remember seeing you at High Point, and I was like, dude, I'm a B-rider, and my bike looks like it's in better shape than John. You know what I mean? Like, just riding in a clapped out 250. I mean,
I remember John.
He's been there from
when no one knew you, back in the 90s.
Yeah, where but it's 90? Not only anonymity, but, I mean, dude, he's like the blue-collar guy. Man.
Oh,
I think
that's why I love
you're not like the Silver Spoon kid that showed up at the races. Like, oh, daddy brought me in my $700,000 motorhome. I mean, he's been the dude that's been there struggling with the rest.
Out shit too. I mean, like the worst, pathetic looking quad. And I remember
and
the pro quad
from some of the worst injuries.
Up there running with the guys with the $20,000 quad and his.
Oh no, dude! I was literally like a mid-pack B rider, which is pretty much my whole career. And dude, I remember looking at my bike and I was like, wow, dude, my bike's as nice as the pro bikes. And I looked at John's and I was like, dude, my bike's nicer than some of the pro bikes, you know?
Right. Well, that's one thing that I think keeps it real for me because where I come from, you know.
I never had a lot growing up when my parents literally gave me the shirt off their back. I mean, they would do without shoes just to give me a tire for my bike. And, you know, I built my own A-arms. We cut stock A-arms and welded extensions on. And I fixed my swing arm with wrenches that we welded on brakes on the swing arm. And I did it all because I loved the race. I didn't care I don't care if it's a Blaster or, you know, the 250R or Banshee. I just wanted to be out there racing. And to me, it's like a drug, you know. I'm not going to be done racing until I say it's time, you know. Everybody says, well, you got to quit when you're this age or that age, but you can't, you know. It's in your blood, yeah.
I think your competition's proven that. I mean, you look at what Doug's done, and Doug is, you know, he's an old man, dude, by dirt bike standards.
Yep.
Dude, he should
amazing.
Be a team manager by now,
Yep.
You know, not necessarily being a guy that's out there racing, but
right.
You guys are, I guess the equipment's getting better, too, or it's not beating you guys.
Well,
you
heck,
know.
Doug gives me
something to look forward to because I want to race for another 10 years and he's still out there beating my butt. So
he's 10 years older?
Yeah, he's 40 years old.
10 years older.
Yep, and I'm 30. So, I mean, it's, you know, I'm really excited about the whole thing because I know I got another 10 years in me, you know?
And you're doing it smart, getting the TST thing going. I mean, dude, if you've got the right medical knowledge and you've got, you know, you take care of your body and all that, dude, I mean, who's to say you can't do 45, 48 like Donnie Banks? You know, I mean, it's... I guess now you guys have got advantages now, man. You guys have got, like, there's a lot more technology and a lot more stuff to keep you guys healthy for years and years as opposed to just getting beat up for 20 or 30 years.
Well, we're talking championships today. And if you guys have, let's make it interactive. If you've got a question for John Natale, Donnie Banks, any of our guests, Angela Butler, or who we're soon to have on, Dr. Rice from TN's Target Specific Training, shout out the forum. Where is it at? Just Pure Dirt, right? Just go to Pure Dirt in the forums and let us know what's on your mind, and we'll get back to you on that. And we got a contest going. I think John, you signed a WPSA First London Kentucky T-shirt.
Right.
So it's kind of a, I guess you call it a monumental souvenir.
Yeah,
it's the first one ever, and it was the winner of that event. And there's the signature. It's not clotted up with other signatures. It's the John Natale one. So let's give that away, and.
What's the contest going
to
be?
I don't know.
Time?
We'll have to think about it. He'll be up the podium, we'll come back, and we'll figure out what the contest is.
Let's ask him, how's Michelle doing? Because, I mean, Michelle,
what happened?
We've got to give her some air time here.
She's been riding really well. She got second and was right on Angela the first moto. The second moto, she had a little mistake and fell off. And to me, it didn't look like a bad crash. And I thought, wow, she'll jump right back up. Well, she got up and passed out. And ended up waking up before I got there, got back on the bike and rode, and afterwards, you know, she was pretty sick and passing out, and we got her in, got some fluids in her, and got her ready to go. And I think she's doing pretty well now. She's a pretty black and blue face, but she still looks good. So she's doing a lot better. She wants to race tomorrow, so we're gonna go put her bike back together, and she's gonna get on and ride. And I mean, you know, I think it's kind of a, you know, like I said before, we take some punishment and get back up and keep doing it, because for some reason we just love this.
Was that, is, I saw her get up. She got up and it looked like she just leaned back, just laid back down. I mean, she literally passed out when she was out there on the track.
Yeah, she hit her head really hard. I wasn't, you know, sometimes I'm pretty critical about people when, you know, get up, you wimp, you know. And, you know, she got up and I thought, she's fine. She fell down. I thought, you know, quit milking it. But after I seen her face and seen her helmet, I was like, wow, you know, she hit pretty hard.
Is that the second time? Did you take a shot in a tree branch a couple months ago?
No, wasn't it? Oh, no, I don't know who that was. I remember Tracy Solomon back in the day at Muddy Creek.
Michelle took a shot by a tree branch. What was that? At Glen Helen this year. She was there.
A tree branch?
Something like that.
No, she took a shot in the face. She had two black eyes whenever she crashed, but it wasn't a tree branch. She just crashed and the bike got her, yeah.
All right.
Yep, but
she's
tough. She's about 102 pounds soaking wet and kicks my butt all the time, so.
That works. Oh, we got a question, Joe?
Yeah. Kelly Quad from the forums wants to know what John Natale thinks about more and more pros leaving the National Series and doing the WPSAs as the summer progresses.
That's a really good question. That's a question that hits close to home. I'm really excited about the WPSA, and I'm really excited about ESPN, because I think it's something that's going to take us into the mainstream and let people know what we're doing and be able to see what we're doing out here without having to leave the comfort of their own home. But I don't think right now that everybody should just leave the GNCs. I mean, it's something that I think that the WPSA and the GNCs can work together and come up with a good two-series program, and I think it would help each other out. They got to learn to
take the ego out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I can't say on here. You know, I'm not going to lie. But I really think that they need to learn to be a team and work together, and I think it's going to take us into the mainstream. I think ESPN is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And I think that WPSA is, you know, I really got to applaud them. And they're putting on great races. And they're doing everything the way that the riders feel that it should be. And, if you know, they're asking our opinions. And if something goes the way, you know, they don't understand, they come and they ask us. And they make it better for the next time. So I guess basically I don't think it's a real good idea to just leave the GNCs, but I understand too that a lot of people don't have money to do both series and don't have the backing or the sponsorship that I and some of the other pros have. So, I mean, you just gotta pick the ones maybe that are closer to you and the ones that you think is gonna work out best for you right now, and hopefully in the near future, you know, within the next year or two, there'll be enough money into this program that everybody that wants to come out and do this can make all the races and make enough time to do this and be with the family that I call home on the road.
Right on. Yeah, they're out. ATVs outsell. Donnie knows the specifics on this with Capital Cycle. ATVs outsell motorcycles, jet skis, and snowmobiles combined. It's insane how the money behind the ATV industry. And with ESPN, you know, catapulting off of what they're doing now, I think it's going to be incredible with the sponsorships and utility thing going through the roof, the whole thing. There's going to be some serious money in this sport. I really think so. Yeah, the factories are involved now.
That's something too. You hit a point with serious money being involved. That's something that a lot of these people don't understand now. This is kind of turning into a business. And I've ran into this on the forums on ATV Scene sometimes, with people saying, "Ah, you just left for money." Well, you know, it's not cheap to do this.
Right.
You know, the last few years before I got sponsorship, I would spend $100,000 to $150,000 a year just to travel and do this, and I didn't have the top of the line stuff, you know. So this is the things that the people don't understand now. This is a business, you know. It's just like Ricky Carmichael or you know, any of those guys. It's a business for them. When you're out to, you're selling a product, basically, is what you're doing. Like, you know, I'm selling for Honda and for Shift and for Maxxis and Douglas and, you know, Rage ATV, who's building my motors, and Elka Shocks. These are the people that I'm a salesman for. You know, I'm out here selling for these guys. And, of course, you got Moto TST, you know. And it's, you know, this is what you have to understand and you have to relate to now. There is money coming into it. So it is a business. So there are going to be decisions made based on money. And that's just, you know, that's just the way it is to be able to stay on the road 8 months out of the year.
It's the reality of the world.
Yep.
No, that's the real world doesn't run for free or good wishes. No. It's money.
Absolutely.
Joe, you got something for me? Oh, yeah. Do you think some more of the pros, John, are going to start racing the quad terrain or bring home some extra cash? I know there's a lot more money involved, you know, and for both classes, them and yours. Are you thinking about trying it?
I definitely would like to try it. It looks like a lot of fun, but, you know, I got a lot of obligations to other sponsors. Like I said, I'm a salesman, so if I don't show up for work the next day, I don't get paid. So I got to make sure that I stay healthy, and that's just one more thing that I could possibly go out. And I get stupid when I get on that kind of stuff, so I could possibly go out and get myself hurt, and I'd be out of work for a while. And it's hard to, you know, there's a lot of people that put a lot of money into me, and I owe it to them to try to stay healthy and be at my best.
I have a question for you. All these years, have you ever had a champion that you looked up to, a hero? You mean you've been done this for many years. Is there any rider that stands out that, man, that's the reason I'm doing this?
You know, all these guys. I mean, when I was growing up and I was in the B class and the A class and all, you know, Donnie and Doug Gust and Gary Denton, all these guys, man, you know, they're just great. Of course, I was, you know, starstruck. I wanted to be just like them. And it's crazy that I'm at the point where they were then, except, you know, I'm getting a little bit more exposure because they didn't, you know, we didn't have this kind of stuff back then that we do now. But it's great to be here. And, I love being like these guys. And you know, it's just sad that things couldn't have come around a long time ago when all these guys could have enjoyed the spoils of what's come about. And these guys are the ones that made it happen for us. They stuck it out and they spent their hard-earned money and used their knowledge to bring better product to the table.
Well said. All right, George, should we go to our next guest? You want to hang out? I keep thinking the podium's going to be calling. Should we go to our next guest? Last race just dropped the gate. So let's sum it up with John then. Want to do a contest? George?
Yeah, I'm all for it. Dude, you gotta understand, I'm medicated right now. Yeah. So I'm sorry, I'm in La La Land right now. I'm doodling, drawing.
George, you still
people.
With us? Let's do a contest. You guys think of anything cool to ask one of our champions? How about the first women's champion?
We got John here. What?
Okay.
First person to name the first race that John won.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad idea.
First pro motor and first pro overall.
Gets the John Natale WPSA inaugural shirt.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And we'll come up with some other things, too. We'll get you a good little package. It'll be good.
I might be getting a call.
That's the podium calling.
That's somebody calling to ask John, hey, man, when'd you win?
That's the podium calling. But anyway, that's the question. That's the trivia question. First person, tell us, what was his first, John Natale's first pro...
Moto win and overall win.
Okay, yeah. First moto win and pro national win. GNC, we talking?
Yeah.
Are we talking? Okay.
Yeah. First,
okay.
I mean, he won a GNC before anything else.
Yeah.
He turned pro in the GNC. So.
Right on. Gotcha. That's the podium.
Do you guys know?
I think I know.
Dude, but, I mean, you know, you could tell us.
No, don't say it yet. I think I know.
Sure, I know.
First person to guess closest to John's guess.
I want to do it. Can we? Screw it. I'll just guess. I think it's South Carolina. Am I right?
South Carolina.
It was a call. Remember that track? Hilton?
Oh. Yeah. Camp Coker?
Camp Coker?
Sandy.
We'll do another contest. I want to talk.
We just blew the contest.
I don't care. I had
it. I think it was Sandy.
Yeah.
No, Camp Coker. Because they had, that was...
South Carolina. I think that was...
I think that was the first pro moto win.
I didn't get an overall there, though.
Sorry, guys. I got the shirt.
All right, no. Okay, well, no, we got the pro moto. Now, we'll just save the overall as
that was the pro moto. So now we need to know the first GNC pro overall.
1998, right? Wasn't it? 98 or 99?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
When did you have your first Chicani race, Donnie?
I'm trying to figure out my first.
We'll find out.
Okay.
The first one that you had here.
All
right, so it was 99. That was 1999 because it was Donnie got the first race the very next year.
Right.
So that was 1999 was the first moto win. So it's going to be sometime between 99 and now.
For some reason, I'm like the champ of useless trivia. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff that no one cares about. Why do I know it? You know.
That's funny that you say
What
that.
Number did Charlie Shepard ride? 64. You know. I know all the useless stuff that doesn't even matter.
Teammate in a 12-hour last year besides Chris Borich.
Oh, okay.
I know that one, dude, but I'm
two
not
part, okay, there you go. Two-part question. We'll win our bag of goodies. We got a drawer full of stuff we can give away to somebody. So we want to know the name.
I can get him something signed. I'll get him a jersey or something.
All right. Well, we want to know the name of the rider that teamed up with John Attali and Chris Borich for the 12 Hours of America. Not this past year.
Yeah, this past year.
Okay, this past year. Perfect. And we want to know when he won his first GNC, and we'll send off a bag of goodies.
Yeah. Well, I know he won every off-season race for – I mean, dude, you were banking on all those off-season races for a couple of years. It was like John would show up at a national, be third, fourth, and then win. Anytime there was a big check to hold up at the end of the day, dude, John was there.
Like, we were looking for something else, but no offense, but we were, like, looking for something else. It was as you clogged the headline. It was just all you there for a while.
I was like, well –
damn, somebody else won. We got a story.
It's like the story guy. 12 hours and this hours and that.
Everything that could have been won, he won it.
Yeah,
that's
the king
cool.
of the off season.
Yeah,
and the, king the Olympics of the on season now too, so it's working out.
Yeah,
the Olympics.
Yep. Okay.
You know, I also wanted to say that this year the competition has stepped up so much. People don't even understand how much the competition stepped up this year. With Suzuki's just a powerhouse. I mean, they got Jeremiah Jones and Doug Gust, and they got the big rig and all the parts and all the money that they need. And Joe Bird's really stepped it up this year, and it's just huge this year. I'm really impressed with the way this thing is going, and I think it's just going to explode in the next couple of years. I'm really excited.
Do you think that the move to production equipment has kind of leveled the playing field a lot more? Because it seemed like before, a lot of there was guys that just had more funding that had just talking about, you had that clapped out stuff back then.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have been that clapped out back then if we would have been on production rules.
Yeah, I think that the production rules really helped out a ton, leveled the playing field, and actually brought the manufacturers back into it.
Yeah, I remember sitting at a, I guess it was a ATVA or what, AMA Congress or whatever, when they were talking about going all production, and that was the argument that Donnie made. Donnie was like, dude,
yes, ma'am.
If we go production, it's going to make all the difference in the world, and people argued it, and look where we're at.
Right. It was a huge move. And, for our events, we had the first pro production, our first production classes.
Right,
it was
cool.
2002 2003 for the Bardstown, Kentucky, and the Fort Dodge, Iowa. We did a production race.
Did you really?
And that's so we I don't know. Yeah,
right,
we're the birth of it.
They're not having an award ceremony today. They're going to do a back-to-back tomorrow. So.
Oh, we got cool.
So if you want to ask a couple more questions.
Sweet. All right, let's get into something a little more juicy then. last week you had a little run-in with Joe Bird.
Right.
What went down?
Well, in my... It wasn't so much that would have been even the bad thing. It was the first moto, he ran me off the track too, so that kind of got my attention whenever he hit me at a second moto and put me in the dirt. But I don't think anybody would actually intentionally hurt anybody. I mean, me and Doug have gotten together, and actually at the last WPSA race, me and Doug had some words. But today, we offered to take him to dinner. So, we got invited to Doug's house to go for a party out there, and hopefully that Doug and Cindy will be coming to our wedding. So we're all pros, and we got to learn to act like pros, and we got to start setting a good example. I don't want to be the guy that you see on NASCAR come out and throw his helmet across on TV and bounce off another car, or come out and set examples like that. I don't want our sport to get like that. I want us to be as civil as we can. I mean, as the money comes and as things start to grow in this, there's going to be times when tempers flare and things happen, but the best thing is I'm really proud and excited about the fact that I can say that all of us are good friends when we're off the track. We're competitors on the track, we get off the track, we're good friends, and we can get through all the petty stuff. So, it's really exciting to be a part of this family.
Well, the track's only so wide. You got 20 foot of track in some places and 20 riders, and there's a lot of money on the line now, and it's the way it goes. Might not have had 20 full feet at Muddy Creek. I'm not sure about that.
Well,
it's a little tight in there a little bit.
Hey, but in all fairness, do you guys think a lot of times it's due to riders in practice, just follow the leader, and it just putting in one good line all way? Because, I see it a lot. I mean, not in that case, there wasn't 20 feet to ride on, but I'm saying at a lot of tracks, man, it seems like we get one line, and it's just, dude, the same guys following the same
boring.
Guys every...
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you something about this is, first of all, even here at Donnie's track, there was starting to be one lines. They put the pros out first, which at first I was like, what the heck are they putting the pros out for? But, because, it's smooth, and I want to test my shocks and stuff and get ready, but the thing is I think it helped develop a lot more lines because the pros are more willing to go out and try new lines.
Right.
And of course, you know, Donnie had his workers out there putting hay bales out and directing us and making new lines, and all day long you see his equipment moving and things going on out there. As for places like Muddy Creek, you know, there's some excuses for the way things went there. I mean, they totally redesigned the track and was running it backwards, but the only thing that I don't like is they had flags up that they said was 20 feet. But yeah. 5 feet on each side of that flag, you couldn't run. I mean, you would jump and do a barrel roll. It was on the side of a hill where right. the flag was. So, I mean, there's issues that need to be taken care of on that. And, you know, I think these guys are going to work harder and make it better for us. Personally, I think the track needs to be 30 feet.
Right. Yeah.
I think that would make for much better racing. Yeah, and yeah. even a full 20-foot track with two four-wheelers side-by-side going 40, 50 mile an hour, it's
yeah,
dangerous.
Yeah, that's still too tight. And, I mean, realistically, I guess that's one of the biggest criticisms of the tracks is just the one-lineness. And I guess I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit just because I see a lot of tracks that are really narrow. And yeah, Bud's Creek was actually good this year. With the, well, I like those inside lines and...
One thing I do want to say about these guys is, and this is all the promoters, whether it's the WPSA or it's the GNCs, is I have a track at my house, and there's only three or four people that ride on it, and I can spend 6-7 hours a day working on that track, you know, and still not have it done. So, you know, we always have a lot of bad things to say about these tracks, but there's also a lot of good work that they do and a lot of things that they do that we never say. You're never going to hear anything about the good things. You're always going to hear the negative things, so... You know, you definitely got to give them a little bit of a break, but there's also certain points where it becomes dangerous that they need to get out there and take care of things right away.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, that you know, without the tracks, none of us would be doing this. You know, these guys have been putting their financial stability on the line for years and years and years doing this, you know, but realistically, it's time to start changing. It's time to start getting things right where we can, you know, yeah, the tracks should be to the level of the racers now, you know?
Right.
They should be able to showcase these guys' talents as opposed to keeping them back.
Well, I gotta say, Donnie Banks has always done an outstanding job of opening lines up. Four-time promoter of the year, so I think he's done some things right, and he's been helping with some of these other track promoters, and it shows. Open up lines and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so
that's one thing that's really awesome is Donnie's heart's really still in this sport and still with us as the riders. Yeah. Because how many other promoters do you know that go to a track where they're not getting paid and they're not making any money and they go to another track and try to help their, which could be their competitor out, you know, and make something better for them? You know, I mean, I think it's awesome for him to go around and help these guys out. And there's a lot of us like me and Doug and even Joe and a couple of the other riders have offered our help too. So, you know, if these promoters are listening to this or, you know, whatever, we're always available. Give us a call and let us come in and try to help out.
When I used to do my TT events, man, I had Shane Hitt and Tim Farr helping me dial in my tracks, and wow.
I remember at Orville, the
first
year with the option lanes.
Yep.
And it was
that was
much
Shane and
guys.
Tim. We were out there a week before dialing in, and we got it down. It was cool. I was proud to have them.
You know, that's a couple of guys that I didn't mention last time, but Shane and Timmy are two really good guys, and Shane's a little weird, and he's a little off the wall, but he's a really good guy.
You gotta love him, though.
Yeah.
And
he'll get the most honest podium speeches ever, dude. Yep. As far as leaving it on a track, dude, he leaves it on a podium. He'll tell you everything that happened.
Yep. And as for Timmy, I'd have to say he's one of the smartest motocross TT racers that I've ever met.
Smartest
he's
business
always man. Thinking. The guy is always thinking about new things and how to make things better. And, you know, I'm really impressed with Timmy Farr. He's not riding this year, but he's still a big part of our whole series,
look,
you know.
With that new team he's got, the motorsport team. And I mean, Tim's got it as far as having the business end of it, the setup end of it, like that dude's the, you know, just all around package on having his stuff together. You know,
you're
dude's like
you're preaching to the choir here, as far as I'm concerned. I've known Tim far longer than before he even raced.
Right.
I've known Tim before he raced when we're riding 200.
This is cool. Just that you're saying that.
That's cool.
Okay. Yeah. T-bar. We're just calling T-bar.
T-bar.
Sure.
I call
we can
Tim
say
early.
That. This is pure dirt. You can say it.
Yeah.
This is T-bar far.
Anyway.
Well, there's a law. We should have a commercial break here. But we're having damn sponsors. So
we can
Warrior. Weekend Warrior. There it is. All right. You have to play some sound. You need some music. Key in Weekend Warrior music so we can rest our voice for a second.
They're not even listening to us in that room.
They're out there playing video games, I think. They're not even doing anything.
It's not even on Pure Dirt anymore. Yeah, said we're boring. Yeah,
they took us off minutes, hours ago. Yeah, they're looking at Scene Girls. We just got the word.
Oh, you got any questions for us?
Yeah, there was one question we had from a forum member. They asked, well, now that Dr. Rice is gone, we can get an honest opinion. They asked if CardioStack actually helps, and they asked what you do for training. And I don't know what to say. We don't have to answer. I don't know.
Let's just stick to the training part.
Okay.
Training is mainly seat time and cardio. You know, I started working with TST with Dr. Rice, and he's shown me a few more things, and which, you know, if you guys want to know about that, give Dr. Rice a call. He'll let you know and let you in on it. It's some stuff that'll really work, and, you know, I think it's definitely worth you guys checking into. It doesn't cost you nothing to make a phone call, you know, a couple dollars here and there. Make a phone call to TST and check them out, and I'm not sure, do you have their number on your site, or?
Well, we've got him. We got him as a guest, so we'll get that going in a minute. But yeah, I'm interested to see what he has to say, especially about you.
Right, right, yeah.
He called a bunch of you guys pussies. I'm just saying what he said. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
Dr. Rice is his own man. He's a little weird too. Since he ain't here, I can talk all kinds of shit about him. But
he's an idiot.
But he does know a little bit about training, and he's really excited about.
He's hardcore,
man.
Yeah.
What's his background? Where's that guy?
Football coach. I don't know. That's all he's ever.
Sports football for like 14 years.
But he was like a trainer for a football team, or
yeah,
football, sports football trainer.
Huh. What's sports football? What's it? I guess I've been around motors too long. I don't know what.
No, there's 2 days.
You know, football camp. I was in football. I used to have that kind of guy as my coach.
Football build.
Yeah, kick in the face mask. Yeah. Get going. Yeah, which I like.
Here's the fact. Carmichael, Reed, all the top guys have trainers. None of our guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you look on the dirt bike side right now, it's like everybody's got, you know, Alden Baker and this and that, and all these guys
every one of them got trained.
Well, let me about that. I was talking with Jeremy McGrath. I went to dinner with him in Las Vegas.
Really? Awesome.
And the guy told me that he pays a personal trainer, which actually it's a personal motivator.
What?
I think he pays him right around, don't hold me to this now, but it's right around $50,000 a year.
Motivator.
Just to walk into his bedroom, slap him in the face, say, get out of bed and let's go train. That's what these guys do.
Wow.
That's why these guys are in such good shape. And basically,
bicycle stuff. Most of them are.
And now this is $50,000 is what he pays this guy a year.
Go slap
now, this is kind of the thing that you're looking at now with Dr. Rice and TST.
Okay.
Now, this guy is setting up a thing where he's going to call you. If you're not sending him files, he's going to call you up and say,
he's
hey,
got the pretty girl
let's
calling.
Get to work. Yeah.
He's got Ashley calling for it.
Well, the funny thing with all these guys, I read an interview with Josh Grant, you know, the dirt bike kid, Josh Grant, and he was saying that rather than going out this year and buying a Mercedes like every other like new rookie supercross guy, he hired a trainer. He's like, you know, I don't need a Mercedes. He's like, I got myself, and he hired Rhino, you know, Ryan Hughes. And it's like, dude, look at the results
when
that
you
had
when
this
you
year.
When you hire a trainer, you don't need a Mercedes because you ain't going to have time to drive it.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be training.
When you're sitting on that podium,
right.
Yeah.
And you know something else about training is the fact that
you need to get closer if you're going to be talking to because the listeners are going to be wondering what Donnie's saying up the
couch.
No,
I never got I usually get hit with something when somebody's too low, and I never got hit. So I think Donnie's voice is actually loud enough.
Can you guys hear Donnie from there?
Yeah.
Oh. Never mind.
Oh, so it's dead air.
My bad.
Yeah.
Trying to get that worked out right now.
Yeah, we're low budget up in this high dollar weekend warrior. Get some more microphones, I guess. Next time we'll have more microphones.
Yeah, let's spend a big budget. All our advertisers, we'll sell sponsorship in exchange for 2 mics.
You know, we were talking earlier. This is kind of like being on Howard Stern here with these guys. I mean, you know, well, minus the naked girls and things like that. But
she's just in the back. Come on back, Linda.
But this is kind of cool because it's kind of a no rules, say what you want thing, and everybody's having a good time.
Absolutely.
John had a transvestite in here with a big Adam's apple dancing around for us. It was awesome. Did you see her in a bikini contest?
Yeah!
You know the one I'm talking about. Yeah. That was John's girl.
If you're listening, we're really sorry.
Yeah, she's not listening.
Oh, no mic swivel. You see that, dude? We upgraded. No more mic swivel.
Do we have a sponsor to thank for that? I guess.
Oh, really? Yeah, for an internet show that you can't even see.
Just mention Elka here and there.
Elka?
I'm just throwing one out there.
Yeah, hey, dude, this is your job. You said it's a business, man. Let, you know, plug on.
We had a question again.
You know, there's a guy that could be listening to this.
Right.
And that's my motor builder. His name is D. Manshack from Rage ATV. Now, let me tell you what. This guy builds a motor. If you've been paying attention to the whole shots and the things have been going on, I mean, I'm a dummy on the gate, and I sleep. When the gate falls, I sit there and kind of decide, you know, what I'm going
to
do, and his motors pull me through. So, you know, if anybody is interested in getting a good motor built,
D. Manshack
at Rage ATV. This guy can build a motor.
Tell him to put it on John's account. John's one.
The first four people
to call the guy is getting free John motors.
So he actually builds the motor himself. It's not another company. He's the one dialing it in.
Yeah, okay. He's awesome.
Cool.
I gotta jump in and ask a question because Cowie Quad's getting all flustered in the forum saying, why are we asking questions if they're not even asking them, even though John's already answered three questions because I guess I didn't jump in. So somebody's wanting to know, I don't remember who it was at this point because we're on another page, what are you doing to work on your arm pump problem?
You know, basically, I was just riding mainly and watching what I eat and drinking a lot of fluids. The basic thing that I kind of figured out with arm pump is comfort. I mean, if you're comfortable on your bike and you're feeling like, you know, your bike's working and you're not going to be crashing, you're not getting arm pump. That's why you don't get arm pump when you practice a lot, because you're not pushing yourself to that point where you're making mistakes and you're you know, screwing up and holding on tight. And when you get out onto the racetrack and you start not thinking as much and you're not breathing and you're not doing the things you should be doing, you start making mistakes, that's when your arm pump comes into play, because you're gripping on them handlebars and you're just holding on for dear life. Basically, the biggest thing is getting your bike set up right. I mean, you know, we're still working on a little bit of setup on our bike. I mean, I really had a rough time today with my rear end going away. Well, the rear of my bike going away. And I never got arm pump today. I mean, I got tired and the bike beat me up and my back was sore, but I didn't get arm pump. So I'm really happy about that.
There's no rest on Donnie's tracks. Scott. It's just...
Yeah, you're either in the air or just hold it on.
Even on the straightaway, it's whoops after whoop. You better be in shape if you're coming to one of Donnie Banks' tracks. But, arm pump or not. Yeah, no TT tracks for Donnie.
Any more questions back there?
I remember the TT at Paradise Park, and it had two little jumps that were like two jumps the size of speed bumps, and people were freaking out. Like, oh, we're not supposed to jump.
Yeah, just to help out Joe Magoo. He's a little bit slow back there. You got to see this guy. He's trying to work hard, but man, is he slow. I mean... And if he gets any closer to that computer screen, he might just jump right in. You guys might have him in your living room before long. But he's going to try to get some more questions out here. And for any of us, you know, we got Dr. Rice and Donnie Banks and Angela Butler. I keep wanting to say Angela Moore, but Angela Butler's in here now. And, you know, you guys just pop them off, and we'll bring her up here if you got a question for her, too.
No, we're going to cordially invite and introduce her, I think. Who's got to go next? Do we have to hurry?
I'm not swiveling anymore, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about the swiveling. Drop the swivel. We got the levels right.
I just holding on to the mic.
Yeah, me too. I keep thinking I have to.
I've got such a horrible comment to make right now, but I'm afraid he'll punch you in the face, and I'm not going to say it.
I'll kick you in the bad leg, man.
That's good. Anyway.
Should we bring out another guest? What are we doing on time? We got three more guests to go.
I'm sorry, what?
What are we doing on time? Should we bring out the next guest?
Sure.
So you're supposed to do all this, ladies and gentlemen, when there's a commercial break.
Yeah, I know.
So commercials would be awesome about right now.
No, you know what's funny?
Magoo's really trying to get rid of me now. He's pretty upset that I've been making fun of him.
Yeah, you know what the good thing is with arm pump, and people don't ever believe me. The first thing, I used to get real bad arm pump, and somebody said, are you breathing? I was like, of course I'm breathing. I'm riding, you know? And I went through, like, honestly, probably a lap and a half. I think it was out here, and I was like, man, my arms are... like bricks, and I was like, dude, I haven't taken a breath I've just been holding on for dear life, white knuckle. Just so my trick became, I would run my mouth in my helmet, just talk to myself, insult people on the track, insult it, you know, just talk to myself. And dude, if you're talking, you're breathing. No, dude, and I swear it made a huge difference, because it keeps you breathing the whole time.
Again, that kind of brings me back to Dr. Rice. The whole point of doing the training is not only to get you stronger physically, but then mentally. If you're concentrating on things, and a lot of things that he shows you to do takes a lot of concentration, you learn to breathe while you're doing these things, and you kind of do it subconsciously. I knew. I even find myself now still out there going, you know, grunting, and you're not breathing when you're grunting, you know? Okay. So you got to be breathing out there.
All right.
That's funny, man. It's funny because the arm pump thing, it just plagues everybody. You know?
It does.
It just seems like
And then you talk to guys that, oh, I never got it. Like, I didn't get it the last couple of years, but you saw me ride it. I rode like a little sissy out there, like barely on the gas, you know?
Well, so. I know last year I didn't get arm pump at all. Really? One race last year when we had a bad setup on my bike, got arm pump real bad. We fixed the setup and bam.
You came in this year with a lot more pressure than last year. I mean, last year you came out of nowhere just swinging, and it was like we said, you were the king of the off season. You came in, just started winning GNCs. Everybody was like,
yeah,
okay, you know, like, well, what's this all about? You know,
who's gonna get second
this year? It's like, dude, you're the number one guy. So right. You know, yeah, I would imagine there's a lot more on the line, and you know, you got a lot more people behind you.
Suzuki's
and a lot more
pretty.
People.
They're not messing around. They want you.
Yes, they do. Suzuki's an awesome team.
Holy cow.
They're tough. They're coming for me. And
You know. I'm definitely a factory rider, and I'm sponsored, and I got a lot of really good people behind me, but I'm still not to the point where Suzuki's at yet. You know, I can't fly into every race. I'm driving my own rig. I'm spending 14, 15 hours a day driving.
Wow.
So when we finally get rid of that is when I'll be able to spend more time on bike setup. I mean, we changed everything this year. Everything.
Wow.
You know, there was a change in the bike, you know,
from 05
to 06.
Yeah, I mean, just the factory bike, changed.
And then we changed A-arms and shocks and motors, and just everything was changed. But... you know, I think we're doing pretty good. I think with my team and my fellow people came together and put this thing together, and I think everything's working pretty good for what can be expected.
Well, I think you're shutting a lot of people up, too. You know, like you said earlier, there was a lot of criticism, like, oh, why change a winning combination? And it's like, you know, it's a business, but you're proving that, you know, realistically, at the beginning of the year, everybody was struggling. I mean, look, Suzuki's doing great now, but Jeremiah was, you know, just getting hammered at the beginning of the year. And it's like, it just takes a little while to get things going.
One more? All right, we got one more question for John, then we're going to go to five-time national champion Angela Butler. But the question is, Joe's going to take the question.
All right, we want to know, John, if you have any tips for, you know, when the gate drops, getting to be the first bike into the first turn, you got any hole shot tips?
You already gave the motor.
Yeah, you know, well, of course we got the Rage ATV motor, if you guys want to call them up, but...
But secondly, I think that one real big advantage is get out and watch a lot of the starts, you know, and even at red lights or anywhere else, work on your reaction skills and your reaction times. And basically, just like anything else, is practice. I mean, you got to have smooth shifting and smooth clutch action, and, you know, you got to be on that gas. And there again, it comes to the comfort level. And when you start feeling more comfortable, you start driving into the corner harder, and you'll be able to outbrake people. And
how much of that is confidence, do you think, realistically? I mean, because a lot of people think it's motor and this and that.
I'll tell you one thing. About 85% of your hole shot's confidence. If you think you belong there, you can get there.
That's what Gary Denton used to say. He used to, like, vision, see it happening, and you sit through the gate and see him get
it. Well, one of the biggest things is, if you look at 2 years ago, I didn't get many hole shots. Because I knew that I was going to get up there and just fall back, and man, I didn't want to get anybody's way. But if you think, hey, I belong up there, this is where I'm going to be, then you got a good chance.
I'm such a firm believer in the psychological aspect of this sport, man, as opposed to, you know, like we were talking about, people spending so much money on just stuff that they don't need to be spending money on, just getting their head game right and getting their physical right. And I think I guess that would be good for
all right. Yeah,
well, guys.
Well, we're talking championships. I thank you. I respect you enormously, John, for all you've done for the sport.
Yeah, you're all right. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for your questions. And like I said, I'm an avid ATV scene reader, so if you got questions for me, feel free to put a post on there. And
cool.
You know, don't get upset if I don't see them sometimes, but if I see them most of the
time,
I'll let you know. And, and don't be afraid to criticize me. I'm not above criticism, or even if you want to give me tips or you know, whatever you guys want to do, I'm not above getting help by anybody. So
sweet.
You know, just any questions,
you're not above
go
punching
ahead
them in the head if it's a real hard
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Right on.
All right, let's do Angela.
No,
she's here without her husband. Let's
she's
do
married.
Angela.
Can't
that
do that anymore.
Whose parents are listening?
So, well, I'll do the intro. I was going to have George do it.
Well, then this is for Jack wins the fan of the year for the little move he pulled. We're not even going to, you know, he just did some decorating on some people at
Mr. Moore, man, your daughter is bad. This is Natalie, and you got to have a talk with her. She's getting off the hook in here. This is Howard Stern stuff in here.
Yep. Put your shirt back on.
I didn't even know those were pierced.
That was good.
I'll talk to you guys later.
See you.
Awesome. My wife wants me to listen because she's calling in. Here, you guys talk.
Well, all right. I was going to have George.
John,
I was going to have George introduce you, but Well, now he's going to introduce you.
What's that?
That'd be cool. I thought
you the five-time women's champion?
Well, I don't know. I thought we'd do something
the winner of the WPSA
for,
round.
We got, you guys are... You, she's your teammate. I mean, you chose. You went out and got her as your team.
She got us.
So I was going to talk on that first, but our intro didn't go very good. But
we'll
have to have her on again. But anyway,
yeah. Bye, Angela.
Yeah. Get out of here. Do it again.
Oh wait, Michelle's here. Oh, bye, Angela.
No, but let's talk from the beginning. How did George is sitting right here. How did the team come about?
Honestly, on my end of it, it happened after I moved out to Phoenix. The first year I lived out there, I had some friends, mainly ATV Foreplay and JB Racing. They helped out tremendously with hauling my bikes to all the races and giving me enough support, you know, to make it last throughout the whole season. Then it came down to a lot of people weren't going to make it to the racing season, and I kind of knew George had something up his sleeve, but wasn't positive, and cool. I knew he was into the helping aspect into the ATV industry, so it came down to almost the last round, Southwick. I said, hey, dude, I need some help. All I need is just, you know, someone to haul around my bike and all my stuff for me.
Asking you shall receive, and it's a great fit,
and
too.
It, you know, I mean, when he told me, when I asked him, he just had, you know, this 15-foot trailer, and he was helping out Mark and Zach.
I remember, yep.
We were having fun, and he told me this crazy idea of having this big old rig.
Did you believe in
your
hype?
Team.
Whatever,
I mean, realistically, I didn't, but there was hopes, you know? I mean...
Right, like, okay.
It, honestly, it's one of those things. George can honestly sell a pile of dog crap to a bum on the street.
Right.
It would work. He's...
I'll try.
You know, he's super like that.
And then it all went away.
No, but it was funny. No, I mean, no. Yeah. Well, my thing, it's like a fairy tale, dude. It's like a 1.5-hour thing. This time it was a year and a half.
I'm just waiting for him to tell me after this that I'm off the team.
No, but it was funny. When Angela... No, we don't have a team anymore.
No, we need to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. But, dude, it was... I guess it was 04, yeah, Southwick, and we were... And we wanted to, you know, we had all these big aspirations. We need a big rig. We need this. We need that. We need the right riders. And it's, you know, Angela's known. She grew up with Mark Kendall, you know, which is one of the original team members.
Right.
And, you know, she kind of fit in with the whole, like, just ridiculous atmosphere that we always had. Like, we don't take ourselves too seriously and just try to have fun at the races. And and she, you know, it just worked out. She was a clown like the rest of them, like the rest of us. And then last year, I guess, we had a pretty damn good year last year. You know, I mean, you know, for the first year of, I think we kind of settled.
It worked really smoothly. Where everything starting out the way it worked a lot smoother than honestly I thought it ever would.
Yeah.
I mean, there
riders.
Was some chaos and always
there was chaos
going
and drama
on.
And
drama, always drama. But you know, in the end, when people need to come together as a team, we really do it.
No, but the beauty of it was when and last year and this year. I mean, we've had two kind of like. Really crappy things happened. Like last year was, you know, I ended up getting hurt at Red Bud, and I was like, you know, in my head, I'm laying in the emergency room going, wow, dude, what just happened to the team? And then, you know, they go out at High Point and win every moto and win, you know, what I mean, just dominate. I don't think any team's ever had a performance like that. I mean, they won every qualifier and every overall that weekend that the team was in. And for the rest of the year, I mean, the team, like the presence was right and everything worked out good. And then this year, everything, you know, we started off real shaky and, it seems like everything kind of came together at Danville, and then from that point it was like just straight up. And then now, you know, we've got our newest thing, which anybody that's on here probably read the press release that you know, we're not with FMF anymore. We lost our title sponsor a year and a half into it, and it's been kind of a crazy thing, man. But it's funny, just when we thought it was going to get horrible, we had like a team kind of meeting. We had a 1-800 little dial-in phone conference the other night.
Really?
And,
all you guys, you're on
the whole
too?
Team. Yeah, I mean everybody's parents, everybody.
Sweet.
And,
okay.
And we just kind of discussed the future, and it's funny because, man, something that could have been a negative just turned into, you know what I mean? It's a
really.
We said, yeah, there's a silver lining, but it's a dark ass cloud, but it's a real bright lining. I mean, you know, we're gonna come out of this kind of better than we came into it. You know, we thought a lot of people are going, man, what happened to the team? Are you guys done? It's like, dude, just wait. There's press releases coming. You know, I don't want to. I wish we could just like.
Pure dirt, though. We can say whatever you want on pure
dirt.
Yeah,
but you know what? There's pure contracts waiting to be purely signed, so I don't want to pure blow any of that, because apparently my big mouth is what gets me in all these problems.
But,
so
I mean, like I just said, when things happen and when people need to become a team, even with this bleak time, we've all came together.
That's cool. That's
and
really
anything
cool.
That anybody can do or to contribute to anything, we've all just kind of stepped up.
Yeah, and it's funny because you know, we got a real negative reaction, you know, like from the whole, you know, losing a title sponsor thing, and then dude, all the other sponsors. I mean, we've got 36 sponsors, dude, and, wow, and 35 out of 36 sent emails last week, like, behind dude, anything guy. You need,
no
you know
way.
What I mean? Like,
wow.
Yeah, like, and dude, awesome. We've got sponsors that, even though we've got signed contracts that say we get X amount of product or X amount of this or X amount of dollars, you know, that are right. that are up and everything right now, just to make sure we get through everything, which well, is really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, this WPSA, they're starting to grab some serious outside the industry sponsors.
Yeah,
that I would think that, well, I not even think, I was told that they also want to be involved with race teams.
Yeah, they're supposedly running around. And
I would
well,
think
I can't
you
say
guys,
supposedly. We spoke to the CEO.
Well, I probably, you probably want to say something, and you can't even say it. And it's
yeah,
probably
yeah.
about that.
No,
I know
there's
that
all kinds of good stuff going
sponsors.
On right now.
You got a question?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, we got a question real quick.
All right, Quad is now giving me grief on the forums because I called him Cowie Quad earlier. I had to get on there and post to him that Nathan's giving me. Actually, Nathan was giving me grief saying, why'd you call him Cowie Quad? I said, because I can't see, all right?
Enough backstory.
Right.
Ask the question.
Hey, it's my show too. Basically, Quad wants to ask you what happened with the FMF deal.
Really, honestly, it was just, if you read the press release, man, it kind of states it. You know, there's always like behind the scenes stuff and craziness and, but really, honestly, man, it came down to we wanted to support this series, and FMF's been a longtime sponsor of the GNCs, and you know that's a real tight network over there. You know, it's kind of it's a family, you know, affair over there, I guess, to those people, and you know, we crossed the line by wanting to
right.
you know, better ourselves and you know, follow what we believe in. You know, I really don't think that we did anything wrong.
All
we really did was say, you know, we've been pretty vocal about our support of this series. Like, we believe in it. We think this is the future of the sport. As a team manager, it would be stupid for me to be anywhere else.
We got 87 million households.
Exactly. Dude, we're an ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, dude, I've gotten text messages from my parents, which I didn't even know knew how to use a damn
just now,
send a text message. Yeah,
they
today. Going,
it?
Yeah, because
yeah,
cool. they watched it and they're like, oh, which one was you? And I'm like, no, I wasn't on there. But no, to
funny.
Answer his question, I mean, it really came down to, you know, their. I guess they wanna stand behind the other series, and they saw our support of this series as some kind of conflict, and it was important enough to them to want to pull support in the middle of the year, you know. And what people don't realize is that beyond exhaust systems or beyond any of that, I mean, FMF provided the lodging for four of us, you know, the driver of the team, Hunter Johnson, myself, and a lot of times Caleb Moore would stay in the rig, and you know, they provided our fuel for the races, you know, which is a huge expense. So I mean,
right.
this little thing, we're gonna come out all right. But I mean, it's in the end, you know, we have to reprint all our pitch shirts, reprint our graphics kits, you know,
yeah.
something that you do once a year. That's an
right,
expense
right.
that you only allot for once a year. We're having to do it again, and I mean, this whole thing's gonna be, you know, $10,000 or $20,000, you know, mishap because of
yeah.
Us supporting a better series.
I just don't understand how someone, whether it's a small company or a big company, doesn't want the advertisement. Either way, whether it's you know, their favorite series or what they really, really wanted you to support, either way, it's, I mean, that rig's a rolling advertisement. All our podium wins and overall wins are an advertisement.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yep.
know, our name and our sponsors being announced. And
yeah,
I guess you know, that's
I really,
one thing they just weren't into.
No, I thought that you know, like John said earlier, I thought our job was to get as much exposure as possible for our sponsors, regardless of political affiliations or series affiliations or any of that. I thought our job was get our name out there, and dude, we've done that, and we've done it in a positive way, you know. I mean, yeah, on the forums, I, you know, I've got a big mouth, dude, everybody knows it, and but a lot of people know that I'm just joking a lot of times, you know. It's like I'm a smartass about a lot of things, and you know, I guess things weren't well received, but you know, it, like I've said about the sport, and I've said about the other series, and I've said about everything else, like, dude, we need to move forward and concentrate
right.
on the future and not worry about any of that.
Well, like you said,
I hope that answers your question, man. I know. PM me, and I'll give you all the dirty details.
There you go. Well, I think it's like you said, it's brought y'all closer. It's a bound.
We're hugging right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
People can't see us
yeah.
right now. You know,
good
hugging.
For you guys.
Just kidding, Scott.
Tear.
So
yeah,
let's go back to Angela, your career.
No, well, it's the whole
no?
theme is becoming a champion. So yeah, let's
yeah.
go back to.
She's
I mean,
become yeah five-time champion.
Five-time
yeah.
champion.
Does anybody
a lot of
want
way
any?
The WPSA
is there any female racer won more? I don't think.
I don't think so.
Daryl Brandt won a bunch, but I don't
yeah.
know how many she won.
I don't think it's three. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I interviewed her.
You
she
know Carol?
This.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I talk to her every time she comes.
But yeah, you've actually got a good past with, I mean, people don't know it, but, I mean,
been
racing
around.
Against, I mean, you know, Matt Bartosik, Mark Kendall, all these guys that have gone on to become.
Yeah, back in the day when I first started out in North Eastern and Western Ohio, Pennsylvania area, you know, it was me, Mark Kendall, Matt Bartarczyk, and Cody Hurst, all raced OT80s all together. I mean, we were our own little clan.
Cool.
You know, I mean, we kind of grew up and stepped up to the bigger bikes at the same time, so that was really nice. I mean, we all have local championships that we're all proud of and
you
have.
You guys have got whatever
CRA.
CRA.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm in Ohio, too. CRA.
Yeah.
I tried to do events against
Riders of America.
I went and did my box races back then. It was called the Buddy Up Cross Country Series.
That's when me and Tracy started.
Yes.
That's when our first race was.
That's right. And now we went AMA with the thing. And that was my mistake, I think, because the CRA was just too big. They had every time we did an AMA event, and you had to be a $39 member. They had a CRA thing going on, and it was their membership was $7.
Yeah.
And it hurt our attendance a lot. But hey, we got you and Tracy together, so
that
was cool.
That was the first time I actually have a picture of me and Tracy from our very first team race together.
That was one of those Bucks races.
Yeah,
we had some tough ones too.
That was back in '98.
Did you race the one? What was the one we had in Battlesburg?
In
did you go to that one?
Yeah, I
Battlesburg
think that was the one.
We had three of them at Battlesburg, and man, is it wet! It was pretty cool.
It was
like a mini Blackwater. You had to like shove your quad up this hill bank.
Ours
it was cool.
Wasn't too bad. That was something definitely new for me. I never really did that before, and
that led to the 12 Hours of America stuff you're doing, teaming up with
me and Tracy. We're together.
Yeah.
We're teammates forever.
Cool.
She's my girl now.
You guys are good friends.
Cool. We support each other every weekend. We have a race. We call each other, let each other know how we do.
That's awesome.
Congratulate or wish each other luck.
We can't call her Tracy Checo now or what?
Yeah,
we
can't. Tracy Checo.
I think they got divorced or something. I don't know. I talked to him about it.
Yeah, but is she keeping?
I don't
right
know.
Now,
Tracy Lenig, Checo Lenig, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, the really fast hot girl at the GNCC races.
And there's a funny story about that. Dan Fisher from Lone Star. We were getting ready to go to my rehearsal for my wedding, and Tracy was one of my bridesmaids. And
I remember this.
Dan goes to Scott and says, "Dude, there's this hot buff chick in the lobby. You gotta see her." And Scott's like, they go down there and they're like, "Oh, where's this hot buff chick?" Scott looks at her and says, "Damn, that's Tracy." He had no idea. It was pretty funny.
But
I mean,
that describes her, hot buff chick.
Oh, yeah. She's a good girl. She's awesome. She's one of my best friends, and you know, I love her to death.
And she's kind of, isn't she kicking ass this year? Pretty much.
She's out of, I don't even know how many races she's had. She's had all of them except for two.
Incredible.
That's awesome.
She's kicking ass, and I plan on following suit at the rest of rounds this year.
Yeah, well, you've been doing pretty good at the, and I'm not plugging you because, you know, I'm on the team, but you won the first, you know, swept all the London races. Today you raced A class as well, which is
against
the men.
How'd it go?
It was the first time I've raced a second class this
year. We should bring this up to Donnie. Donnie and his cheater gate. The first one on the right of the doghouse, man.
And the first medal I got, 8th, and the second medal, I passed a whole bunch of guys, and I ended up getting 6th. So I have 13th gate pick tomorrow.
Cool. Well, what's that?
No, you have something to say.
And I just want to say, apparently Twisted wants to know if my hands are dirty, and I have to let them know that they're very dirty.
Very, very dirty hands.
Very, very dirty.
Okay.
He'd be proud.
Speaking of dirty, there is some good clubs in Cleveland.
No, I've heard
that someone's asking where they should go in Cleveland.
Hey,
PM me or something. Stop by. I'm at 271 and 90 where they meet. And only 20 minutes from downtown Cleveland. So if you want
to
go to Cleveland,
set up dates, dude.
No, you're on to me. But some forum members I was told want to know where to hang out.
Hey, but
I do know the place to hang out. It's not in the flats. Don't go to the flats.
And I'm not trying to blow Angela off, but we need to bring the doc in before we run out of time. Man.
Yeah. Well, we weren't fair to Donnie either, I don't think.
We don't like Donnie that
That's
much.
True. That's
you know?
True.
You guys are just showing John a lot of love.
Yeah, well, you know, he's the number one guy, and he's fast.
So?
And he could kick my ass. Well, you could kick my ass, too, but the drug.
Well, what about, you were in the A class today.
Yeah.
What did some of the guys think? They get pissed off when you beat them?
A lot of guys are pretty comfortable with it. You know, they
know, who we are by now.
Yeah, I mean, they know there's competition and they know there's a chance, you know, of me beating them. If I do great, if not, you know, maybe next time. But a lot of them are really comfortable and really cool with it. I actually had to race against Nathan Comer, who's on the team, back 2 years ago. I completely annihilated him in the 16 to 24. Wow. And now it's kind of the other way around. But and Hunter Johnson was also, he was just in a different heat than us. So it was fun.
It's cool having three riders in the same, class or whatever. You know, kind of hectic. It's hard to watch them and get the gates right and everything. But it's kind of cool to have them all out there.
It's hectic because I want to cheer everyone on, and everyone feels the same. So when you're out there at the same time, you got to concentrate on your own stuff instead of cheering for your teammates.
Well, it's funny because I had Nathan tell me at Red Bud. He's like, dude, Hunter was having a good battle back there, and I was like, what were you doing? Because I kept seeing him look over his shoulder. And Hunter was coming in third. It might have been Muddy Creek. Hunter was in third, and Nathan was in first. And Hunter was battling for trying to get around into second place. And Nathan kept looking back, and I thought he was trying to gauge the distance, but he was gauging to see if Hunter had made the pass, and he wanted to just, so they could go over the finish line together or something. I don't know. It was just kind of funny.
Yeah. So you're pretty accomplished. I mean, does ESPN know how accomplished you have been and you are? Have they come on and done a story with you yet or anything?
Not yet. I've gotten to be friends with some of the workers here. And
right.
I mean, the reason I got to know them is because of the Great Outdoor Games last year.
Right on.
I think that helped, get my name out there, even though since then it's changed, but people kind of get the idea and know about it.
George and I helped that get you into the Great Outdoor.
The Great Outdoor.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud she was there.
It was great. I jumped the gator pit.
Yeah.
I jumped it.
That was sick.
I jumped it. Heather didn't jump it. No, I jumped
that's
it.
That's Donnie instigating in the background.
Yeah, that's not.
I'm not going to let him get away with it quietly.
That was something different. I never hit a ramp before. And honestly, I rode George's bike. And
it wasn't set up.
It wasn't A, set up.
Or prepped.
B, prepped.
You had a shift on the other side and everything.
No, well, it hadn't been touched since he broke his femur. Right. So I got it with mud, and I had to switch a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. And
she got it with Michigan mud and grief on it.
So
you know?
I had to change to a production bike, which, at the time was bad, but... in the end, it worked out really well. So that was.
And it gave you a good glimpse as to what you're going to be riding this year.
It
that
did.
Was your first time riding a 450.
Yep, it helped a lot.
Water. Well, as far as training and stuff, I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but you don't really get to ride much in between races.
No.
I mean, you hold a full-time job at Lone Star, and
which,
by the way, in case anybody was wondering, Lone Star has stepped up as our title sponsor. That is one thing that we can. We haven't issued a press release, but that's, I guess, Pure Dirt Scoop. Lone Star is, we're now the Lone Star Media All-Stars,
So is that going to do anything with Keith now? Are you going to be in the same truck?
Or? No, we're working on some stuff, man. I'm just telling you, it's going to be big.
I'm poking and prodding.
Oh, you're not, you'll never find out.
But no, it's really good, and I know that, Lone Star's really excited to get on it.
We're all drinking Coors Light now, so the show is about to really begin.
I got to ride tomorrow, I'm not.
I'm drinking Gatorade.
But,
No, he's not.
It's
got a fifth of vodka going.
It's really good. We're all excited. But as far as training, like George said, I have to work full-time at Lone Star as much as I can.
Yeah.
9 to 5 every day. I don't have an opportunity to not work and have a track in my backyard.
Right.
So that...
Everyone else does nowadays.
Pretty much.
They all come in fifth-wheel toters.
I have to travel, an hour either way to go to a track. That's fuel for a vehicle, which out in Phoenix is well over $3 a gallon now. And then finding time to get off of work, which out in Phoenix we ride a lot of night tracks because it gets so hot out there during the day.
Right on.
A lot of tracks ride at night, so that helps. But honestly, I haven't done any of much training at all, meaning that my practice bike hasn't been set yet.
Yep. Yeah, and it's funny because hold on. I think we got a question coming.
There was some question about Susan Parker. You're wondering if you know anything about her comeback.
Honestly, no. I'm waiting.
I saw an article on it, and that's about as far as
I know. There's been articles for the last 2 years of her coming back, and I'm not believing it until I see her at the starting gate with me.
Well, we've been talking to her. She is coming back. She wants.
Hey. When is she coming back? Because I mean, honestly, I hear about it every year.
So
every year, I'm like, when's she coming?
We're going to do an interview with her and find out.
It'll be a great thing. Back in the day when I won the championship with, it was competition between me, Heather,
I couldn't,
Susan.
Exactly. Leslie Wells.
Leslie Wells.
You couldn't miss the women's class.
It
was so good.
At that point, there was 4 possible winners.
Yeah, it was
right
awesome.
Right now, the championship is just hard with only 2 possible winners unless there's mechanical problems or crashes.
Yep.
And that makes points battles so imperative at the end of the season. I mean, you have to literally plan out what races you have to win, what races you have to do in order to get a championship. And for the last two years...
Yeah, now it's a mathematical championship. Like, you know, you really have to kind of...
That's all it is, and that's how it's been for the last 2 years. Technically,
well,
you know,
better.
Heather and I have tied for the last 2 years.
Yeah, next year it'll be 36
It'll be
races.
Whoever has the most gas money.
I think I might have to retire, unless George pulls in some really good sponsors.
Yeah.
Well, I told that Susan Parker will be our guest at Florida. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told. I don't know.
We should announce our new sponsor, Pookie, the crack dealer that lives on the corner of my house, and he's going to give us gas money.
But
shout
out
to Pookie.
It would be really good if Susan would come back. You know, whether she's going to be contending.
I know, it's
going to
be a while.
Spot or not.
Make up.
I mean, if she is great. You
well,
know?
It seemed like Holly was going to step up for a while, too.
Yeah.
Holly Schartzer
yep.
was one that you were like, okay, well, cool. Like,
especially
it seemed
in
like
TT ranks.
Well, it seemed like Susan dropped out and Holly kind of stepped up, and it was like, all right, now there's still going to be four, and then out of nowhere, it just became
10 or 12 races, she went to the hospital 10 or 12 times.
Yeah.
I mean, she had full body x-rays. She could piece together a full body x-ray.
Yeah, she really.
I mean, she's a really good rider, and I mean, I got to know her really well, but. Just kind of messed up situations, and she just couldn't do it anymore.
Yep. She was one of the first, she had the, second hybrid CRF motor in a,
yeah.
She,
you remember that?
She
showed
that
up
out.
With that thing, and everybody was like, ooh.
Yep.
It was Timmy and her, were the two hybrids.
Yep.
15
minutes.
15 people.
15 minutes.
15 more guests.
15 minutes.
You know, in all fairness, I guess,
15 guests.
We need to bring the doctor in here, because he's giving me some crazy eyes, and he's got a Coors Light in his hand, and that kind of intimidates me. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, are you part of the TST program?
Not yet. We've been talking, and I've been talking with him, with Donnie on it.
I wonder if he'd be nice to girls. I don't know.
I don't know. He's...
No, he's just saying no. Absolutely not, he says in the background.
No, you know, honestly, when I first talked to him, he asked me about my training, and I said that I didn't train. And
he laughed at you?
He told me that I make him want to puke. So
yep.
Apparently,
what do you guys hear
to
get along with this guy?
A puke bucket when I'm around. I'm surprised we haven't seen any, you know, hurling yet.
Right.
On the
projectile vomiting
in
a weekend warrior.
You know, my dad has always helped me out with training. Back in the day, I did karate for 8 years.
Oh, really?
You know, so I try and take a lot of that and still and do as much as I can, but it's hard. It's running out of time.
If you guys have never seen Jack, and I know he's listening, dude, he is a picture of fitness. When you think ninja,
I
mean, Jack Moore is just, I mean, hard body as they come. He just looks like a little, like a ninja turtle.
He also does this thing. If you ever see him, ask him to do his sumo wrestler guy. People get a big kick out of that.
Yeah, Jackie's sexy man, you.
He's always got a sticker ready to put on somebody's back.
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway,
all right.
Let's bring
Thank
in the
you,
dog.
Angela. You're going to be our guest again, because
cool.
I feel like we shorted her.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'd like
that's
to have her up in here.
No, I'd like to be on here again.
Yeah, we got to have her up in here again. So definitely.
Got to have girls.
Word.
Nice girls.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Hey, cool. What are you doing? Keeping it real and representing.
Keeping it real and representing.
All right. All right. See that?
That's a good way to part.
All right, doctor.
Okay, let's go on. We're going to our next guest, because we don't do commercials up in Pure Dirt.
Oh, you know, it's one thing that we should do, which we were criticized for last time.
Want to do a fake commercial?
No. Let's tell everybody that it's Pure Dirt, and you're John. John, what's your last name?
Go to the forums, interact.
Yeah, let's do what we're supposed to do instead of getting carried away. Before we get our guest, we are Pure Dirt.
George, John who?
George, what's your name?
I'm George Curtis
George
from Alabama.
Curtis. I'm Josh Pellman of ATVScore.com. And we're doing a little show called Pure Dirt. If you just log in and you're oblivious to what's going on, it's that's what we do.
Yeah, and go to the forums and you can send us questions and we'll give you answers to the best of our ability.
Our forums are called the bitch sessions, I'm told.
The bitch, yeah, well, you know.
Somebody said that they're bitch sessions.
I heard it was just because a bunch of, like, miserable bitches were looking,
rename
for reasons.
Instead of the forum button, rename it bitch session. I didn't know it was that, but I guess it is. I don't know.
Well, you know what it is? Anywhere where people go on and log on and speak the truth is a bitch session.
I thought we were providing something cool to the But anyway.
You know what it is? Yeah. Is that if you look at, you know, it's a pyramid kind of scheme, and at the top of the pyramid is a bunch of bitches.
Okay.
We're just the groundwork for it.
All right. Well, since we don't have a commercial, we will plug our glorious sponsor.
Weekend Warrior.
I guess you'd call it a sponsor. I don't know. We were just happy to be in it. It's Weekend Warrior. We're live in the Weekend Warrior trail for Pure Dirt.
No, I was going to ask if a Weekend Warrior, where they got, what cereal box that plasma screen came out of? Because, dude, what brand is that? It's a beautiful trailer, and it's got like a $19 plasma TV in it.
It's got rotary telephone, too, in the back.
It's a, how do you pronounce that? What is it? Oh, dude, I don't even know my...
I think it's a step up from Walmart.
It's a big DB32.
Anyway, let's talk. Let's get up back on topic. We're going to talk championships. Finally, I know our guest is getting sick of our shit. This is Dr. Rice.
Dr.
David Rice. Tell us what you do.
Gee, I'm a sports chiropractor, and Donnie Banks came. I've known Donnie since he's been young.
Donnie, should we move you in here, too?
Yeah, move him in here. And
that way we can.
It was such a big misconcept to me.
I got another chair.
Because I'll keep talking, and y'all move chairs. Donnie, I've known Donnie since he was a real small guy.
The other metal chair.
And Donnie was overtrained. And I thought, all these guys do this. Everybody that rides must take it serious, because this is a sport you can get killed in. So
you assume you're going into something that you guys
see a bunch of hard body dedicated athletes.
Absolutely. However, Donnie came to me last year, and he goes, he had me involved with the 2001 Kawasaki Enduro team, but Donnie came and he said, you know, I came in second last year at Loretta's, and I was out of gas physically, and I don't have time to train. Will you help me? So I got involved that way, and that's how it all got started. When I came to the track then, I just couldn't believe people can't even ride a moto without getting tired. So I put together this company, and I put together some specific exercises. And, you know, the S isn't for silly or sanguine or sissies, and that's what I see out here a lot of.
That's what you said earlier.
Let me ask you, what background do you come from? I mean, I know you're a chiropractor, but as far as sports go, where'd you come from?
Well, I get my language from football. I've been in football for 14 years, and from high school to the Arena League, and then I was with the United States Highland Team, which is amateur Highland Athletics here in Scotland. So after being on the sideline for 14 years and being around athletes, it's just something that I enjoy doing.
Well, let's get to the good stuff. You got to target specific some of the pro legends of our pro current riders, and who have you been training lately, and tell us about their progress and what you think of their
well, the first guy I got, a nickname Squirrel Boy, is Shane Hitt. Well, it's only because we got in my trailer in South Georgia in a sleet storm this year, and it was so cold and sleeting outside that he got on the top bunk and he put his pillows around. He was eating nuts and watching TV, and he was nesting up there.
I love it.
And I was really happy about Shane, because Shane has such a great reputation. He's done so much for his sport.
Now, let me ask, do you help with his, besides conditioning, are you helping with the recovery? I mean, I know he had some pretty bad injuries a couple of years ago. When he broke his ankles.
We're getting his screws out. I finally convinced him to finish unscrewing.
All right.
I
was just curious if you're...
Thanks for speaking.
Yeah, I was curious if it was more of a... if your program consisted more of just like cardiovascular training and more physical fitness level stuff, or if you were helping them out on a... being that you come from a chiropractic thing, if you're adjusting them and getting them straightened out and getting them to get all that.
Let's get away from just chiropractic or trainers. Trainers help a lot of people, but they have a cookbook. And, guys say, well, I ride bicycles. Bicycles do not develop your hip flexors, so you never get your ass off the seat. I want my riders, the only time they sit down is when it's beneficial, so there are certain specific... Or you lose your seat. Guy lost his seat today and still came in second. So there's more than cardio work, but it's completely designed around core strength, lateral and vertical, and that's what you need. And y'all were talking about arm pump. I could have sat here for 45 minutes and explained to you what really causes it. You don't get it in practice because your adrenal glands aren't working. You don't have that adrenaline pumping. And these are the smallest things we have, is our fingers and our arms.
Right.
If you learn to use your legs and your trunk, you use this a lot less.
You've been developing core strength more than anything.
People come to me. I had a young pro's father come to me, and I don't want to name him right now, but he said, can you talk to my son? He's got some head problems. And I said, I'm not going to begin to talk about head problems until he's in shape, because that overcomes most of it.
Yeah, because if one of the things people don't realize is, if you're doing the training, like, And I don't even know that I was training properly. You know, my wife's a triathlete, so I was going to gym and doing. I was training for triathlons, not training for motocross. But you know, the confidence that it gave me would carry. You know, I'd get to the races on the weekends, and I knew that I'd been putting in all the work all week, and I knew that I was like, I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to do this, and I mean.
But everybody else was doing even less.
Right, and it's funny though. It just carried over, like a lot of, like you're saying, a lot of my little issues disappeared because as my confidence grew, I quit worrying about pumping up. I quit worrying about this. I quit worrying about that because I knew I was putting in work.
That's partially adrenaline control, but it's also partially actually being in shape.
And, right.
You know, this is a tough sport. If you're a football player, basketball player, baseball player, you got to practice.
Right.
These guys are responsible for training themselves.
Right.
And there's probably, $10 billion worth of workout equipment around the United States that has clothes hanging on it.
Exactly.
You know, everybody goes. So we had to come up with a program that we can train anybody, anywhere. And the amateurs I went to first. And they'd listen to it, and they'd turn around and walk off and go buy speed parts. Yet they couldn't do a basic moto.
Right.
I said, well, you're trying to wear yourself out faster. And any time that motorcycle gets ahead of you, because it doesn't get tired, bad things can happen.
Right.
So
what's your theory on you know, the imbalance in, you know, people put $50,000 into equipment and then show up? And I mean, I've seen some dudes out here that are, they're
sick.
Slobs, dude, and they've got the nicest bikes, and they're going, oh man, I gotta, you know, spend another $2,000 on this or $1,500 on that because, you know, my bike's not getting me to the first turn. It's like, dude, you could. You know, I know a guy that, honestly, he probably weighs 270 pounds, but he just spends money on titanium bolts to shave weight off his bike. And I'm like, dude, do a sit-up. Like,
I could put John Natale on that crap-o bike that he was talking about he had,
yep.
And he'll beat most of these guys today that are not, you know, not necessarily pros, but even some of the pros. Maybe even a lot of the pros. Because they're too busy washing their trailers, looking nice. When Donnie Banks won a world championship in the back of a Toyota, you know, yep. it's getting yourself in shape. But I really thought everybody did this because you got your life on the line out there.
Yeah.
And this is the only sport I've ever seen where an amateur can get on a track with a pro and wreck them.
No pro license. Whoever wants to go out can go out.
I can't play golf with Tiger Woods. I don't go out and say, hey Tiger, let's tee it up, dude. Yeah,
yeah, I'm here too. Yeah.
Four.
And, hey, by the way, come over in the woods and help me find my ball. You know? So, I guess my great success story right now that I really like, you asked me a question earlier, is, what's his name? Rocco just came with me. He came to the secret training facility.
Yeah.
And he learned, and I had a little Jacob Bratton, a little tiny guy, came over, and Jacob's working really hard. And
one of my guys.
And I explained to his mother that when I was at the top of the steps yelling, because I've come from a football background, that a little prick is when you prick yourself a pin, you know. When I say you little prick, get up the stairs, you know, what's wrong? It's, you know, it's like a pin prick. So,
yeah.
Different terminology in football than we have in racing.
Trust me, he's heard much worse in the pits with us.
Yeah.
He might have to wear a skirt at the next race, just so you guys know, because we had a little internal bet going.
Harold Goodman came to me at the first national here, which was in what?
March.
And he was just in terrible shape. And he started with the program.
If you tell me you're the one behind Harold right now, because, dude, I watched him today, and that kid is rolling, man. I've got him on my, you know, we did a little show prep list, and that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Harold is just...
Harold's filing the program. He sends me his files. You do the program. You know.
So, you're saying, who are your riders?
Let me interrupt.
Donnie Banks. Okay.
Let me say this. Natale's on, but he's not really doing the program because he's not fully confident in it. But let me tell you who's doing the program and who believes in the program.
Who's in the program?
Wimmer, Goodman, Rocco Arno for 1 week. Those guys
all stepped up.
Yeah. This
Goodman
week.
Goodman looks awesome.
Well, just take Rocco. He's never been out of the top 10 and he's seventh today. Natale and them, I mean, they were out riding and the exact thing we're talking about. I overtrained. I rode. I got more seat time than any ass out there.
Wow.
Guaranteed. I'll guarantee there ain't a soul out there that's rode a quad more than me. Guaranteed. And that ain't all it's about. You know, it's about cardiovascular, strength, and all the other good stuff. And
so we just gave away Rocco's secret.
And two days.
Just like when he's been
4 days.
That helps the mental aspect. You know what I'm saying? That helps the confidence.
Bye, Angela.
Yeah, Angela's leaving.
Bye. Well, you know.
Yes, her husband's leaving. There's a real
now
hot guy here.
Now everybody's getting off line.
All right, sorry. No. Well, tell us the three things.
Hello.
That's funny.
What do we got, 10 minutes?
We're good.
No, no, no. I want to hear these three things.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
Actually, you got 1 minute.
Yeah, well, we're going to go over a little bit.
You can go over a little bit.
We'll go over a little bit. This is good stuff.
He's got like 5 exercise programs. I'm talking about the 3 guys that actually stepped up to the plate. But, I mean, those guys did it. Harold's been doing it a while, and you've seen him. He's improved.
Harold is, I mean, his results are, dude, if any of his sponsors, man, he's stepping it up.
It's like anything. You've got to do the work. You know what I'm saying? It's not necessarily a motivator. It's hard. It was easy for me to go train by myself. A lot of these people aren't going to go train by themselves.
Well, you know what? Before all the production rules, I mean, you could get away with just having more money and winning, you know, because all the equipment's too close now. I mean, time to start stepping up.
Dustin Wimmer was down in my trailer today, and he looked at me, and I said, you remember when Harold signed up? Because Dustin was down there with me. Dustin's kind of quiet. Dustin's a talent.
Kind of quiet? Nah.
If he had to promote my hide, I'd be at home, playing on the computer. But Dustin says, I had him at the secret training facility that we have, which is actually a stadium, and we run steps and run parachutes, and I completely change how people think that they should train. They think they should go on a bike and ride for 5 hours. If they got a 23-minute moto, why train more than 26 minutes?
Prime example, Angela Moore. I can't ride. I got to work. This program, tell them how you can do it. You can do it in your house.
Oh, yeah. You don't need a gym. So if you're 13 years old, hey, Mom, take me to the gym, because you're developing the wrong muscles. So we can. It's a program you can put in your race trailer, and if you stay on the road, you can do it. And you know it's.
So what you were telling us about Dustin? You said that you pointed.
Dustin
out
looked at me and he goes, I need this. He said, I need the push, and I wish I would have came on
when Harold did,
because everybody's looking at Harold.
Yeah.
And I know John Natale's had great success, and he likes the program. He also has his own training regiment. But John, you know, wasn't as fast in the middle of the, you know, after here, there's other things that we can do with people. John won the national and all of a sudden got real popular. You know, when you haven't won one, and I told John, I said, the hardest thing it is to win your second one. Mm-hmm. After you win your second one, then you understand what it takes to win. Winning his first one, he said, yeah, no one was ever around me. Now everyone, you know, Honda has one.
Yeah, everybody's got demands on him.
And he's a nice guy. He tries to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of
and it's funny because the biggest, you know, that's one of the best selling points for John, but it's also one of the things that may hold him back is the fact that, you know, you look at Carmichael and all these guys, they're out in front of the fans for X amount of minutes,
and then it's back to work.
And then it's
back
to work.
Is John typing on his?
Well, that's because
stuff, which I love.
That's more. Because it's right. Again like John says, it's a business, and this is what I like about this ESPN deal. I mean, I'm talking to some of these guys, and I say, hey, dude, skateboarders are making more money than you
are.
That's
the background I come from, is skateboarding. And you remember I used to tell people, I was like, you're not going to get your money from your sponsors. I mean, from your purses. You're going to win it from photo incentives, from this, from that. People are like, dude, what are you talking about, photo incentives? I said, dude, every time their logo comes out on your body or, you know, or on your bike in a picture in a national magazine, you get paid. I said, and dude, that makes you get... Oh, no, that's never going to work in motocross. And, dude, I know a bunch of guys that are getting paid that way now.
Right.
Back to our guest.
Yeah.
We've got a question from GNCC444. He asked if you have any nutritional background and if you have any program that deals with nutrition.
I get a lot of questions. Yeah, we have nutritional background coming up. But let me talk to you. Most of you guys are young athletes. You are calorie burners. The things you do need to stay away from are sugars. But... you got to have protein. Some people, you know, you got to have protein for muscle. At this age and the type of work that they do, I want them to eat. I see a lot of young guys out here, and they don't eat all day when they race. You know, they should have 4 or 5 small meals. You know, nuts, bananas, something. They've got to keep their blood sugar up. And I see all these power drinks, and they think they need this stuff. No, it spikes their insulin, and then it goes away, and they need another one.
A lot of stuff are diuretics. A lot of the stuff's really caffeine-based.
I mean, it's crazy, and then they're out in this heat.
It's ridiculous.
So, you know, stay away from the Cokes, the soft drinks. Water is, you can't do better, but everybody's Powerade made the National Football League actually now pour color on you. But think about the Super Bowls. When have you ever seen color pour it on a head coach when they win? They don't keep that crap on the sidelines.
Right.
They don't. And the people that have to have it, take 1/3 Powerade, 2/3 water. It's too sweet, and you don't drink enough to stay hydrated.
Okay. Well,
so
there you go.
Yeah, don't worry so much about your nutrition. I had a lady call. I mean, can you get my son to eat green beans? No, I can't. Just stay away from processed sugars, Cokes, and things like that, because you're going to burn everything else up. It's calories.
Well, I'm really interested in what you've observed in our sport, in our elite portion of our sport, our pro class. And you had some things to say. You weren't very impressed.
No, I wasn't. I mean, you got guys out here who'd rather wash their trailers than train. And, you know, finishing fifth's okay. See, this is Donnie's the only guy I ever knew, and I thought y'all all were like that. Because when I walked on a football field, my coaches, if you lost 26-25, they didn't say good job. They said, you're a loser. You know, you're a loser.
Right.
And that's the mentality that I developed through the years. And you've got basically five guys that have a chance to win every week, yet you got 19, 20, 30, 40 pros out there.
Right.
I mean, this is your livelihood, and now I see some light. Because with television, you don't want to look bad coming in 11th and 12th and 13th. I think it's a wonderful deal for this sport.
Well, you know, it's one thing that's funny is you hear so many guys, that their goal is to just, hey, man, I just need to be in the top 10. And it's like,
yeah.
You know, dude, it's like, yeah, that's great. My goal is to
didn't give a damn about top 10.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Well, you got to be up the hill on the box.
No, you can't. You can't be, you know, your goal, regardless, even if it's an unrealistic goal, I mean, you should shoot for first, and that's it, man. And a lot of these guys are real comfortable being 10th or 11th or 12th. Or
and now,
but you know what's one thing that you were talking about, like the washing the trailer and this and that? That's one thing where I'm hoping with this ESPN thing, you know, these guys, there's a little bit more budget where, you know, a lot of these guys are one-man operations, man. They're driving a rig, they're keeping it clean, they're making sure
they're building their motors. They've got
a kit. You know, that's a big
aspect. But before you do any of that,
and I can't train,
right?
So don't go.
Exactly.
You know, if you can't train, you don't need to go.
Have a dirty trailer, but give me the 2 hours, an hour and a half I want on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I give you a specific program, and what's your hardest day when you don't race for a week? Sunday, because that's the day that your body demands it. What's the day I don't want you working? Monday. That should always be your rest day.
Right.
Recovery is important. He needed recovery. Some of these top guys need some recovery once in a while. But the rest of these guys, they need to get it in gear.
Well, Quad in our forums has asked a pretty impressive question. He says, what's a chiropractor know about the moto industry? And who is he to tell the motocross people what to do or not to do?
Well, whoever's been telling them up to now haven't been doing a very good job. It's background in biomechanics, and it's background in human physiology, and it's background in athletics. It's just like I said.
Okay.
You have a trainer. He may train you to play baseball. He's going to train you to I've got Lance Armstrong's trainer's friend training me. And I said, you're on a 19-pound bicycle and you're riding for 2 hours.
Right.
What does that have to do with a 170-pound motocross bike that you ride hard for 20 minutes plus two?
Right.
Okay? So being in the sports industry, you see what people need. And, hey, I ran it by some guys that know how to ride, and Donnie's one of them. Look at Harold Goodman. I mean, look, if you don't want to listen to me, go back and wash your trailer.
And one thing that they need to realize is that you're not offering a riding school. You're not telling these guys how to corner. You're not.
I don't know anything about that.
All right, just to clear that up, because that may be
right.
You know,
let me say something. He came and watched, and I was on bikes, and he came up with these five exercises, and one of them included a ball, a little bitty. One of them little rubber balls, and I'm sitting there just, I'm laughing. I'm going, you got to be kidding me, you know? Well, then I worked that ball for about 20 seconds, and I'm going, geez. He said, well, call me when you can do it for a minute. Today I can't do it a minute. Nobody in this room can, and even...
And Donnie's really good at working balls.
Yeah, I can work
balls. What
about
your pro clients? Could any of them do it for a minute?
No.
No.
You're saying John Natale couldn't do it for a minute.
Ain't nobody here.
John will tell you after about 10 seconds he was quivering because it was the interior thighs.
You know what a Hindu push-up is?
I don't know what a Hindu... What's a Hindu push-up?
Well, we don't have a... We can't show you, but... And Hindu squats, and... you know, Harold Goodman said...
You're not a terrorist, are you? I mean, you're talking all this crazy Hindu stuff.
Hindu, not Muslim.
Oh, okay. I just want to clear it up for our listeners.
Okay, but, you know, Hindus don't eat meat, but I encourage you to eat it. Okay.
All right. Uh-oh, we got quiet time. No, but realistically, for the forum guys, man, he's not up here preaching that he's going to get you to corner, but this isn't the Joe Bird riding school, you know?
No.
This is, you know, most of these guys, Harold Goodman's got the skill set. Now, we're not saying that that he taught Harold Goodman. Every one of these pros has got the skill set. They know how to correct their bike in the air. They know the textbook how to ride stuff. This is how to make your body be able to ride at that level for long periods of time without just fading, like, you know, dropping anchor on a second lap.
Let me ask you a question. And a lot of you guys saw me race during my career.
Absolutely.
Did you ever see me fade?
No. Every time.
Never fade.
No.
Never fade. Never fade. Never got arm pump. A lot of times I was overtraining. I looked at Natalie today, lead and come to third.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's doing parts of the program, but he's not following the whole program. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, I watched the other three that are fully committed to the program move up.
Yeah, in the last couple of weeks,
maybe
I've noticed it for sure.
There might be something to it. There might not be.
I absolutely
You know what I'm saying? But let me promise you this. I got second at Loretta's, and I got injured pretty bad last week. But with the – and George is pretty familiar with the heart rate monitor and stuff. We can track, and you're either getting better or you're not. If you do your work, you get better. If you don't, you don't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't think – if you think a pipe or shocks or anything else is going to help you here, first thing is be in shape. Or you need to do something different.
Right.
You ever heard of Mahjong?
No.
It's a Japanese board game about the seasons. You don't have to do a lot of training to do it.
You know,
so if you're going to race motocross, you need to get your ass in shape.
We should offer a thing. Well, I'll give somebody a pipe. You know, we got a lot of extra pipes and stuff sitting around now that we're switching stuff. I'll give somebody a pipe. Save your pipe money. I will give you a pipe and okay. Sign up for this program.
All right. You know? Right. Well, I'm impressed.
This program's going to be available. You know, I gave you some ribs the other night, so you said you're going to help me with the training video.
Right.
You know, for three ribs, right?
Yep.
and once we get it, we're going to advertise it in all the ATV.
Okay.
No, just yours.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be good.
And then people can get this program anywhere.
Can we get a good website?
No. You know what? You could have narrowed it down by all the ATV sites that people actually go to.
Okay.
You know? Okay.
Right. Just one.
Yeah.
Okay. Nah.
And then if you're in California, you can get this program, and we're going to show you how to do it. But you're going to have to use your heart rate monitor. And you're going to have to download it. We didn't talk about this. It goes into a computer, and it comes to me. I've got a full-time staff that if you're not sending the files in, we're calling you wanting to know what's going on.
And I saw the person that actually makes the phone calls. It's Ashley, who is our Miss
the 32nd girl.
She is our scene girl, Miss May 2005. You guys
smart.
Check it out.
Hey, no,
she's
but you know
the one that calls the rider up and
she's
says, well,
blind.
Why aren't you doing your program?
Yeah, so I guess no one's going to do it.
If I got that phone call, I'd be like, oh, I got to impress Ashley.
I'm going to dispel that myth right now. He's got a fat girl that sounds like Ashley. And luckily, it's over the phone and you can't see her.
Well, actually, we use Ashley's picture and then the fat girl does it.
Fat girls work cheaper.
No, it's a lot of fun. It's fun watching these guys get good. And
So let's narrow it down here. You're basically, you've got a program you're going to sell. You're gonna have a website and a video soon. We don't know how much it is yet. You're going to set these guys loose with a program, and you're going to download their actual heart rate.
We can run comp charts.
And
we can do, you know, I wish we had more time because... With Donnie, he started out running what we call a moto on stadium steps. And the first time he ran it, he was over 14 minutes. 7 weeks later, he came in and did it right at 11 minutes and 22 seconds. So you see your progress. And if you stay in the program, a goal program, we update you every month. And you go year to year, you can see where you were here and there. You can wear this on a lot of bikes that do not have electric starts. So you can also see how you do in practice, and then take your heart rate monitor on a Honda who doesn't have an electric start, and you can race with it, and it'll help you with your adrenaline pump. There's a lot then we can do with the racer. A lot of people ask for help up here, the mental health.
It's pretty high tech.
Well, hey, I was going to tell you, there's heart rate monitors that are FM signals that your engines don't interfere with.
With electric start.
Yeah.
It works on the Yamaha electric start, but it doesn't work on the Honda.
Are you sure with the X the
Suzuki?
The polar that we're using now works with the Yamaha.
All right, I was going to say, because
is this it?
I had the Iron Man.
You know, Greg Gee's got a Yamaha, and it doesn't work on his.
See that, you know those Iron Mans? I got Timex or Casio or whatever makes an Iron Man. They make one that's specifically FM signal.
Yeah, but is it IR? Can we download it?
Yeah.
So you got software and everything?
Yep.
Well, I'll switch companies.
Yep, I'll look into it and I'll email them.
Good.
But, as far as, you know, a lot of people are probably wondering, you know, how... It's not an instant results kind of thing. I mean, what's realistically, how long is this something that you can do and try to, you know, is your program something that people are going to just sign on for and continue to stay on for long periods of time?
Well,
or are you just going to kind of set habits?
I want 12 months and renew because I want you working hard in the off season. We had people at Donnie's National that came from Green Bay, Wisconsin. The guy got hurt second lap, came from Green Bay. He goes, I said, what are you doing in the winter? He goes, I can't train, it's cold up here. And I said, you drove all this way, you spend all this money, and you're not in shape, and you get on something that can literally hurt you.
Yeah, well said.
Okay?
Yeah, you know, I had a guy say something to me that was kind of funny. We were timing his laps, and he was like, oh, man, time my laps. You know, now, you know, you would always see his dad. He was one of the kids on my team. His dad's timing his laps, writing them down. He's like, see that? He only faded. He was running 10-lap motos.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, see, like, you know, he's good for four laps, and he was running pro-am, which, you know, a lot of times, 6-8 laps. He's good for four laps, and then he only fades a second and this, and then, you know, 2 laps later, he's fading 2 seconds, and it got up to, you know, at his worst, he faded like 9 seconds on his last lap. And he's like, I mean, dude, he's in great shape. And I said, dude, add all that up and tell me how many seconds he lost by. And he was like, he had faded. I mean, we were like, all right, dude, if you could fade a second, you know, towards the end, that's acceptable. But the guy ended up, dude, he lost it by less than what, you know, had he not faded in, you know, the first 3 or 4 laps, he would have been ahead by like 10 seconds at the finish. I mean, it was ridiculous.
It's not acceptable. You got pros from the beginning of time that their last lap is faster than their first lap.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable to fade. You know what I'm saying? It's acceptable to get better, learn to track.
Yeah, learn to track, find better lines.
If your last lap's not faster than your first lap, you need to quit racing or get in Moto TSD.
Yep.
And well, most of these pros that are winning right now, that happens to them that particular week. But it only takes 10 days to really start losing muscle. So if you skip a week, you just can't
sick.
Do it.
Harold was going to shoo.
Harold had bronchitis, and he was sack hauling up. And I go,
that's me right now.
And I go, that's not an excuse.
Hey, but I, not to cut this off, but I mean, this is going to be so big we can't download it. You know, people aren't going to be able to download it easily, right? Because we're already, 15 minutes over?
Yeah, last time we went 2 hours and 20 minutes. So
really?
I think
all
this
right.
is a good topic.
Totally. I'm all about it.
We'll sum it up for sure, but I'm really impressed.
Take
sincerely.
A station break
think,
and tell everybody what we're doing.
With Rocco Arno's performance today, I don't think he's ever done that well. Never
well, Rocco got a lot of confidence.
He was strong. He was steady.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
was steady. He's been in a week.
Yeah.
But what it helped him mentally, I think, to help. You know, what I see here is the media all-stars hooking up with Dr. Rice, and he's stupid with money. So maybe we have a little...
No, that's what we need to
we can get
that
program
one out.
Going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And because we did a lot of motorcycles, and there's some dumb guys. I'm an ATV enthusiast. I ride bikes now, and I don't have a quad, but I'd like to have one again. However, I do have a Suzuki King Quad.
It's wadded up for sale. Cheap.
Salvage.
Yeah, I got
However,
one too. No, I get my
dad. If I didn't believe in the program, I wouldn't mess with it. And it's fun. And you start, you know, once you start producing files, that's what we call getting in shape, then you see results. Then all of a sudden you're a little bit more excited about it.
Well, see, each and every day, even if you're not racing, and you've done heart rate monitors, it comes up with your friend, and were you traveling, were you sick, and you type it in. So when you email it to me, you have your own calendar, and I want to see something every day, whether you're doing something or not.
Okay.
And you see, let's say you're 16, and your girlfriend lives 3 blocks, and you know, mom and dad pay for all this stuff. You know, they're...
Yeah.
You know, really.
And
hey, what's the heart rate monitor when you go visit that 16-year-old
plus they also have to tell you to pick up your clothes. They get deaf. They get deaf from hearing all this. So if you come to somebody that can get in their face and whether they need stroking or whether they need a little punch, let me do it rather than them. Let them do everything else. Let them parent. So,
this is a report.
So if they put on their heart rate monitor and go down and see Susie 3 blocks away and come back, they better have the heart rate monitor on because, you know, 5 seconds there with Susie and they came back. They're probably playing video games for 6 hours. And
I went to the gym.
Yeah, I went to the gym. Or I didn't have a ride to the gym. These 14-year-olds need it. These 16-year-olds need it. It snows outside. I can't get here. This program can go anywhere. For any age.
You guys just pointed to your wrist. You're actually wearing the product. It's a wristwatch, it looks like.
Yeah, just a regular heart rate monitor, polar heart rate monitor.
Yeah, you can swim in it,
so
do everything on it, and then when you're actually using it, you have a strap that goes
around. So part of your program, after you're done every night?
Every night you have to download something off your wrist.
If you're working out,
you got to produce a file that you guys are going to look.
Well, we give you days,
and then there's days that you need to
recover.
You got to rest too.
We get your resting heart rate established, so that if on the day that you're resting, if your heart rate's too high,
right,
then you know either call us or just rest that day. Because when you send it in, I see you're up 12-14% over normal, then you need more recovery time.
Right.
You know, okay. But that doesn't happen to too many people.
Not here.
I heard Jeremiah Jones is going to be doing your program.
I hope so. I want
Jeremiah's coming. I think
the more people that are in it, the more competition. You know, Harold first told me when I sold it to him, I said, I'd like you to tell the other pros. And let me tell you about how happy I am being in the ATV world. I can't get access right now to guys like Stewart and people like that. But I do have access to John Natale and all these other champions out there because they haven't been compensated right. So they don't have agents and they don't have this, you know, really. Yeah. But yet it's a wonderful place to get started, and I'm happy to be here.
Ground floor stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here next to a national champion. He's talking about my program, and I'm going, oh, yeah.
It's ground floor. Yeah.
It's ground floor for everybody in this TV deal.
Yeah.
And have you noticed everybody, you know, is helpful to everybody? And
I would like to thank ATV Scene for bringing TV to this program.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I'll take it. I don't know.
John was instrumental.
Well,
and the PSA,
oh, come on, dude, you're going to get him.
No, it wasn't just me. It was us three. I think George, myself, yourself.
Strawbanger.
Mark Strawbanger. And
Ray Christie actually
Ray
was.
Ray Christie had a little to do with it. You know,
what I thought was pretty funny?
John had a little bit to help, too. I don't know. But, yeah, it's cool that we could offer our 20 years.
Do you have a check yet?
No,
I haven't got my check. I'm waiting on my check.
We're Fast Track Promo is all about taking ATV racing to a higher level. That's our
and Media All Stars is all about losing sponsors mid-season.
And being controversial.
We're stirring things up.
So I'm all good. So cool. Well, any parting words? We got to sum this thing up. I think we hit on everything, but any parting words, Doctor?
Oh, gee, yeah. Let's put a motor on the moto. Let's put the best train. You're going to finish higher. Mom and Dad, you're going to have a lot less chance of injury. When you're in good shape, you're also going to have the confidence, but you'll have the balance and the strength.
Do you guys do anything as far as stretching? Because have you noticed a lot of these guys can't touch their toes out here? You know, really, honestly.
Yeah.
Are you guys dealing with anything like that? Or are you?
Well, you know, we have the two inflatable balls, and one of them's large.
Right.
And yeah.
But you guys are addressing stretching. Because, I mean, really, honestly, like a limber guy doesn't get hurt as much. You know, they flop around and ragdoll and get up and run to their bike.
Some people
are
naturally tight and they can stretch from here to Kingdom Come. It'll help. But you know, that's good. That's one of them. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll sum it up. We are going to part ways here. But before we do, I want to remind you, Pure Dirt is going to happen again. Absolutely going to happen again. I think we all have a lot of fun with this thing. As you know, it's been an extra half hour, or hour or 40 minutes. We keep going longer.
Well, the first time it was supposed to be 1 hour, and we ended up at 2:20.
Yep.
And this time we said, all right, we're cutting off at an hour
it
and a half.
Must
we're
be.
Going on two. So
yeah,
it's a labor
interesting
of love.
People, though. I mean,
it's a labor of love. It's just
you
a conversation
any one
that we
person
with our friends. So
we could have done 2 hours on any one of these guys.
Absolutely, yeah. But anyway, Pure Dirt, check it out. It's going to be from Perry, Florida, WPSA, Rotwell, the round 5 and 6, which is the third stop on the series. Be sure to check it. It's Saturday, 7 p.m., and we'll do it again. In the meantime, for George Cortes, all the crew here, Brad Dedon, Joe Toll, and all the hardworking other people that I'm forgetting, for all our guests, John Natale, Angela Butler, Donnie Banks, and Dr. Rice here from TCC.
Dr. Moore.
I'm a little tired. But I thank you all.
I got a shot, a little
shout
statement
out?
To
okay.
make at the end. You just finish
I'm
thing.
Done. I thank you, and I'm out. Peace
and,
out.
And this is George Cortes again. I'd just like to say that a lot of people are trying to use these forums and use this site as ammunition against people that really care about this sport. And my message to you people is spend more time doing your job and doing it right. Better yourself instead of chopping other people down. There's a lot of us that you guys have tried to knock down. And, dude, we're resilient, dude. We bounce back, and we bounce back stronger and harder than you can ever imagine. Those are my final words. And that was George Cortes, just in case you were wondering.
Okay, George is back.
Yeah, that was he walked in. And bye, Curtis.
That's
but
no,
really, honestly,
this
you know,
is about the money, right?
No, this is just about, you know, a lot of people are spending a lot of time criticizing and trying to be negative, and
You know, right. We don't need to talk about you guys to be interesting. Just go do your jobs. Better your
do
own
a
stuff.
Whole other show now. All of a sudden.
Yep. Nah, like, that's it. No, we're done, dude. And that's the tease for next
aren't
week.
Aren't these people? Aren't these people looking at what happened to IRL and CART?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, well, yeah.
You need to come together. You don't need to split.
Danica Patrick is hot. That's all I know about IRL or CART.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Turn us off. Peace out.